It's on Daf Samaches and Aleph. It starts off with a pasuk in Kehillah. I mean, I just want to say in the beginning that this chazal with the Ashmedai is not a chazal that is to be taken lightly. Because, you see, Rashi quotes it many times. So Rashi in Kehillah quotes it many times. And in general, it means to say that there is, that this is, that the secret or the idea, one of the main themes, the hidden themes behind Kehillah, is to be found in an understanding of this Maimar Chazal about the Ashmedai. The Ashmedai dethroned Shlomo HaMelech. And I think Rashi brings it on the pasuk in Ani Kehillah Yisim Melech Birushalayim, Kehillah Aleph Yud Beis. He says, Al Kol Olam V'Lesof Al Yisrael V'Lesof Al Yerushalayim Levada V'Lesof Al Makli Shereinem Al Yisim Melech Birushalayim Avalach Shereini Melech. I mean, you just can't say that, because if you take a look at Tanakh, you see, for instance, in Melachim Aleph Yud Aleph. So it says, the Pasuk says, that where Shlomo HaMelech was a chote. So the Pasuk says, you know, if HaMelech Shlomo Oav Noshim Nochrios Rabos, he has Bas Paro, Moavios, Ammonios, Adomios, Tzednios, Chitios, and then it goes on, the Pasuk criticizes him that he was, that these nations are Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Los Avova him, Dovak Shlomo Liava. And it says, Leizik Nashlomo, Noshef Yitus Lavavo, Achre Elim Acherim. And then it says, Achein Osel, Achol Noshem, and then it says, Yisan Avad Hashem B'Shlomo, Ki Not the Lavavo, the Med Hashem L'Kei Yisrael, and Anir Elov Pam Moyim. And then the Pasuk says, that what did God say to him? Leim Hashem L'Shlomo, Yan Asher Hoy, says, O Simach, Lo Shamata, B'Rishi V'Chu Kasai, Asher Tivisi Alecho, Koroa Ekra, Samam Locha Me Alecho, that God says he's going to take away the mamlacha from Shlomo. But the ach biyomecha lo esano, the man davar avicha. So you see that he never lost his malchus during his life. Miyad bincha ekrano. It's an open pasuk. So, and then again, I mean, at the end, in Malachim Aleph, in the same parak actually, where it says, "Vayomim," almost the last pasuk, "Vayom Hashem Malach Shlomo B'Yerushalayim Akol Yisrael B'Am Shana." So it's impossible, you understand, to take literally what Chazal say. For instance, you take a look at the next daf, Samaches and Beis. So it says, "Machlekes Rav Shmuel." The Gemara says that the Gemara says, "Rav Shmuel," Samaches and Beis. It's five lines from the bottom. Charam Melech the Hedyot, Charam Melech the Hedyot and Melech. So it's Machlokes. Some say they never, he was a Melech the Hedyot, means he became a Hedyot because the Ashmedai dethroned him, and then he never rose again, and never took back his, recaptured his throne. I mean, you can't say that. It's just against all the Psukim. It's impossible to say that these Chazal are literal chazal, but it's against all of Sukkim. You can't do that. I mean, there's Eina Mikri Yetzim Devshita. So obviously, what Chazal are telling you here is some deep theme, some deep idea, and they felt that this idea is a very central idea in understanding the whole of Kehillah. So, I mean, that's really what we're after. I mean, but it's a long Maimar Chazal, and we have to have patience. I mean, to unravel it slowly, perhaps we will be able to, Beis Hashem be able to understand it. But there's no guarantee. I mean, but we could try to put together as much as we can and try to analyze it. So we have to start. I need somebody to read, just to read first, and then we'll point out some of the. It would be good if we go through the Gemara. I mean, like I said, you have to have patience with this. Go through the Gemara step by step. Point out those parts which, you know, I mean, indicate or keys to the riddle of what the story is about. There's always the way Chazal writes, there's always something that stands out that you have to notice in order to put together the full picture. If we're, you know, hopefully we'll be able to. But anyways, let's start again. Let's start from Samach Hasmanov, Asisi Li Shorim Vesharos, correct? That's the Pasuk in Kehelet Beis. Asisi Li Shorim Vesharos.
Asisi Li Shorim Vesharos, the Tanugos.
The Tanugos B'nei Adam.
Adam. Sada V'Sados. Okay, so Shorim.
Shido V'Shidos.
Oh, Shido V'Shidos, okay. So now, Shorim Vesharos, Eilu Minei Zemer. The Tanugos Bnei Ha'adam Elu Brichos Umerchatos Shida Veshados Hachatargimi Shida
Veshidos. Yeah.
Narava Amri Shidita. So there's they're not so sure. I mean, there's machlokes about what the last part means.
Okay, so Shorim Vesharos means Minei Klei Zemer, because he's writing about all his luxurious life. He's giving a description of his luxurious life. I mean, all these psukim are basically a description of the luxury that he indulged himself in, so to speak. Okay, batim, krumim, ganos, padesim, brechos mayim, even a woods. And then he says, and then also, a mikna buck of a tone, how about any kol shalachan of Islam, more than anybody else. Kesef ezov, skulos and lachem. And then he has, in the end of that pasuk, after the end of the pasuk, he adds, it looks like there's nothing more, but he adds the thing, Shorim v'sharos, v'sanugos b'nei ha'odom, shida v'shidos. So Shorim v'sharos, Chazal says, mini kwezem, and that lends itself readily to the semantics of the pasuk, which means that music is also, music as well as a big, A big part of the whole picture was music. And now he says the last thing, Ta'anuge b'nei ha'odam, shida v'shidas. That's a very cryptic phrase. What's left? Ta'anugos b'nei ha'odam, what's ta'anugos b'nei ha'odam? Shida v'shidas. What does it mean? So Rashi and Kehela says it's merkavos noi, agolos, Tov, Eglos Tov. Of the Russian Gemara, Yeshida Teva Migdal. So what does it mean? I mean, that's what the Gemara is puzzling. So what does the Gemara say it means? Go ahead. Elimi Shirush is only the Zema. Okay, what's Tanugos B'nei Ha'odom?
Elu Brichos Merchatos.
So one wants to say Tanugos B'nei Ha'odom is referring to bathhouses. In other words, the enjoyment of the body in terms of the merchat, those type of enjoyments. Okay, and then shida v'shidos, apparently they're not learning tanugos b'nei ha'odom, which are shida v'shidos. What they're learning tanugos b'nei ha'odom is one thing.
Right.
That means indulging in the bath, like the Romans did. Bath, because it was a big part of their day, was this type of indulgence in the bath. So that kind of enjoyment. Each kind, I mean, has a different meaning to it. But he includes them all. Now, what is Shida V'Shidos? So Shida V'Shidos means something else. Go ahead.
So Hachatargimu Shida V'Shidotim. In Arava, Amri Shidita.
Okay, so over here we say it means what?
So Hacha we say is Shidita V'Shidotim. So Rashi is Shade Zachar V'Shade Nekeva.
Shade Zohar v'Shade Nekeva. Okay, so here we have the shade. And by the way, I mean, if you run through this Chazal carefully, you'll see clearly that the idea that Chazal had a simple belief in Shadim is completely erroneous, and you can't support it. But over here it says a strange thing. It says Shade Zohar v'Shade Nekeva. A male and a female demon or shade, or whatever you're going to translate shade. So the question, of course, is, the immediate question is, how does that fit into the prophet? What do you mean? He made Shadim? He produced Shadim? And what does it have to do with Tanugos B'nei Adam? I mean, this doesn't follow. Good. The Marav Amri, what do they say?
So Rashi says, Shida agalol and gudum rakeves nashim esharim. The sorim.
So it means a car, like a today's car. See, the car is a big taiva, a big powerful emotion. So that was also included. That's what they say it means.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like today's car. But in those days, there was a Merkava. But it's the same idea. Merkava and car, same emotion. No difference. It just depends which age you're in. But insofar as the psychology of men, the psyche of men has the same, it satisfies the same emotion. So one says it means what? It means shido v'shidos. It means different types of, one is tenashim and tesorim, different types of vehicles. Okay, the other one says the what?
Yeah, so
it means well, like it means she is male and female shaden. Whatever that means, or what does that have to do? One wonders what that has to do with this whole picture. I mean, that's something that you have to take notice of. So what is one thing to say shaden, but what does shaden have to do with this whole picture that he's drawing? I mean, he's drawing the whole picture over here of the various pleasures, indulgences, enjoyments of people. I mean, that was part of the experiment. He did all these things. So what does a demon, male and female shade, have to do with this, with filling out this picture? One would think on the contrary. You want to keep away from those things. Okay. That certainly is a difficulty. I mean, and the machlokes between over here and between Marava sounds like they're speaking two different languages. I mean, they're incommensurate. They're two different things. One says it's a completion of what he's saying before, meaning Merkavas, and the other says it's male and female demons. Well, it doesn't make any sense. Okay, go ahead.
Amar b'Yochanan, shlosh meos minei shedim hayu b'shichim, v'sheda atma eini yodea mahi.
What is this strange thing? What is he saying?
I'm not sure.
He says 300 types of shedim there were. I don't blame you. 300 types of shedim there were in Shechem. But Shida Atma, this Shida which Shlomo Melech is talking about, Eini Yodea Mahi. I don't know what it is.
Rashi says Mahi Mad Musa Mativa.
Right. In other words, I know all the ones in this place, but I don't know what this one is. That's one shot. And some say.
Yes, Omrim Shida Atma Rosh Kulon the.
The Imon,
Eini Yodea Mahi.
Another pshat is that Yechon was saying, I know 300, but I don't know the source of all of them. That's what he was saying.
The source?
The source. Yeah, I think that's what it means, yeah. The head.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And the mother. The mother of them all.
I see.
He doesn't know the source, the head,
mm-hmm.
of all of the shaden.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you see clearly. Right away, that Chazal are not discussing what people, what exists in people's imaginations as far as Shadim is concerned. There's nothing to talk about. It's pretty simple. What exists in people's imagination. But over here, there's some idea here. That Birchin says, I know 300 of them, but Shida Atzma, either he means the one that Shlomo is talking about, or else he means the head of all of them. I don't know what it is. He didn't know he was. What's the significance of saying he doesn't know what it is? And who really cares what it is? We don't know. Okay, go ahead.
So Amar Mar, Hachi Targim Lashida Vashidatin. Shida Vashidatin Lamai.
Okay, now the Gemara's question.
I'm sorry?
Now the Gemara's asking the question we raised before. Go ahead.
Yes, Amar Mar, Hachi Targim Lashida Vashidatin. Shida Vashidatin Lamai.
Lamai
Boile.
What does he need them for?
Okay, so the chsiv, the habayis, the havnoso, even shlema, maso nivne. So I guess he didn't know exactly how he was supposed to construct it.
Right.
I mean, is the Rashi here? No.
Is Rashi taking it? No.
Okay, so Amar Lul Rabbanon, so hechi yavid. So how am I supposed to construct this?
Right. How's going to construct it? Evan Shlemo, how is he going to get these Evan Shlemo without using any kind of instrument to cut them?
So I'm relaying, Iko Shmira da'aisi Moshe la'avne Ephod.
There is a shamit that Moshe Ben used on the stones of the ephod.
Right.
Yep. Okay. Shamit, Rashi. Real means sheshes me gracious. Ain't called over kashi yachal lama of nipanav. Okay. So if you get this bria, you're okay.
Right.
Amulai. As I said, Amalu echishtakach.
Yeah, so how am I supposed to find it?
Good advice, but where am I going to find it?
Right. So Amulai, I see Shida the Shida team. Kavshinu ahadadi. Eshar the Yadi, Mgalulach, I see Shida.
Mgalulach.
Right,
so the answer is, in order for you to do this, you've got to get these, to capture the male and female, capture the male and female of the demons of the Shaden, and then what?
Yeah, Kfam Yisurin, Rashi says. Lomar Lo Hechanu, I guess compel them to tell you. Yeah, force them to tell you where they are.
Okay, force them to tell you where the shamir is. They know. They know where the shamir is.
Right.
So all you have to do is force them. In other words, after a while, they'll be very willing to... you have to make it worthwhile for them to give out the information by torturing them.
But Efshar, maybe they know.
Excuse me?
Efshar, maybe.
Yeah, but it means more than just...
No, Megala, Efshar Megala, you know that. Maybe they'll reveal it to you.
Maybe they'll reveal it to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened?
So, I see Shita the Shita team, so he did that. Kavshinu Hadadi. So, they were cooperative. Amri Anan Lo Yadinan. Well, you know, they said that we didn't know. Dilma Shmedai Malcha the Shita Yada, but maybe the guy on top knows.
Yeah, the head of all the Shita knows. We don't know. So, they thought maybe they would know they'd reveal it. Turned out that they did have some information, important information, but they didn't have the direct knowledge.
Right.
They had to, what did they have to do? They had to refer them to a higher source. And now we get to the famous term Ashmedai. That's the first time we see this term. This is the Ashmedai is the source of all the shading apparently. What does Rashi call them?
Malka the Shadim.
Okay.
So he has this kind of like daily routine, I think.
He has a daily routine, right? He's very careful with his water. He has a very deep well, and he covers it with a rock, and he seals it with his own hand letting, his own seal. He doesn't trust anybody with the water. He's afraid, in other words, he's afraid that he's going to be poisoned. He's afraid that that people are going to poison him, apparently. He's afraid he's going to be poisoned. So he has to be very careful with the water that he drinks. Okay?
The Chol Yomo, Solik L'Rakia, V'Gomar Mesivta D'Rakia, V'Nachis L'Ara, V'Gomar Mesivta D'Ara.
Okay, he's a very learned fellow. He all day he goes up and learns in the Shemayim. And then he comes down and learns from the sister Dara. So I think he's doing pretty good. I mean, he's a full-time student. he learns, as a matter of fact, he's in good yeshivas, because he does the yeshiva shamayla and yeshiva shamata. He's a bigger masna than the average guy that's learning yeshiva, only yeshiva shamata. Doesn't sound so bad. Go ahead.
Zazi sayer le lekushpanke umigali le.
So what does he do?
I guess he checks the seal to make sure that that it hasn't been touched.
That's right.
The chasse. Then he can drink.
Then he drinks. Go ahead.
Machsi le v'chosin le v'azil. Then he does the same thing. He covers it over and makes sure that, you know, so the next time he comes back, you know, he can also tell if it's been touched again.
He's not taking a chance.
Right.
He's a wholesome bottled water.
Bottled water. It's supposed to cap.
Okay.
So, Shadre, what's his name?
Benayahu ben Yoyada.
Benayahu ben Yoyada.
He was one of the, one of those who were very important to people in the Malchus of Shlomo. He was the one that, Benayahu ben Yoyada, was the one that, if I remember correctly, I think it's in Tanakh mentions that he was important in securing the Malucha for Shlomo HaMelech, as opposed to Adon Yoav ben Chagas wanted to, Benayahu ben Yoyada was involved.
Gil Yoav.
Excuse me?
Gil Yoav.
Right, right. So he was important in his mouth. So yes, Benayahu ben Yoyada. What do you say?
Yahile Shu Shushilta the Chakik Allah Shame. The Askasa the Chakik Allah Shame. The Gavave the Amra the Ziki the Khamra. So they supplied him with all the stuff, I guess, for this mission.
And what was the stuff? Was the chain?
Yeah.
And on the chain it had what?
The shame was engraved on it.
Shame Hashem. And Askasa was the what was the
ring.
A ring. And on the ring?
Shame.
Also shame Hashem. Gavay de Imra means wool. Viziki de Chamra. And what else?
Jug the wine.
Jug the wine. Okay. Go ahead.
So Azal.
So what did he do with this?
Azal Kara Bira Mitasev.
Mitatoi, right?
Mitatoi from the underneath it. Underneath the pit of the Ashmedai.
Yep.
Shvinhu Lamaya. The Saminhu the Gavavi, the Amra.
The
Imra.
Right. So in other words, they say drained all the water out and we plugged it up with the wool on the bottom. Go ahead.
The Kara Bira may lie. So I guess
then he dug another well on top of the Yashmadai's well.
Okay.
So first he dug a well underneath and emptied out of stuff.
Right.
Water is good. It's good purified water. And then he dug one where? On top.
Uh-huh.
And what did he do?
Shachinu l'chamra. I guess he poured in the wine.
Right.
It's aminu. And he covered it over again. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Oh, and he hit it. He hit it. He hit it, so he couldn't tell that he did it.
Oh, okay, fine. Solik.
Solik Yosef B'ilana.
What's that?
He sat and waited in the tree.
Okay. Kiyasa Siraye Ligushpanka.
A Kiyasa, when the Ashmedai came.
And he wanted to check the seal.
Right. Sire Ligushpanka. What did he do?
So Galia Ashkech.
You know he checked the seal.
But the Galia said he checked it. It's Ashkech.
It was fine. Nothing wrong. Nothing was tampered with.
But Ashkech Hamra, but he still found that wine was there.
He still found that wine was there.
Mm-hmm.
That stupid he wasn't. He saw it's not water, it's wine. Okay, so what are you saying?
Amar Ksiv late or lots?
Late
Hayayin.
Yeah, where's the Pasuk? Pasuk and Mishle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, look up the Pasuk.
Look it up?
Yeah. Allah.
Which Pasuk?
It's Paraklav Pasuk Aleph, correct?
Oh, Pasuk Aleph.
First Pasuk, yeah.
Okay.
Pasuk says, "Leitayin homeshecha, v'chol shogebo lo yechkam." And it's a beautiful pasuk. It means basically, a drunk will never become a chacham. But what does it mean? You see, it says that he's leitayin homeshecha. What does homeshecha mean? He asks for. He wants shecha. He wants Shecha. This is the Shlom Melech is pointing out his desire. His desire. He looks forward to Shecha. So the Chol Shogabo, anyone that is engrossed in it, okay? Chol Shogabo means that he's involved in it. He's engrossed in it. So Lo Yechkam will never become a Chacham. That means to say this. It means if a person takes a drink, that's one thing. A person takes a drink is one thing. But a person whose desire is to drink, who looks forward to the moment of the day that, like they have in our society, happy hour. So it means to say the person looks forward to that moment of the day. He's a shogabah. He's homashecha. He wants to drink. So it means all day the guy is just waiting for that moment to enjoy the yayin. So on that type of a person, says lo yachkam, he will never become wise. Because it means that his emotions and his desires are really for the world of fantasy. And he can't wait in order to escape reality. The day is a drudgery. He has to go through the day. It doesn't mean he's drunkard. It means, and I don't mean drunkard in the real sense. A drunkard in the psychological sense. It means that he manages to make it through the day, but what gets him through the day? The thought that at the end of the day he could drink and he can enjoy himself. So it means to say such a person is rooted in fantasy. He loves fantasy. And he gets through reality because the way he gets through reality is because he looks forward to fantasy. Such a person will never become a chacham. That's what Chaim Ha'olam says. Beautiful person. Cannot become a chacham. I don't care how intelligent he is, will never become a chacham. Because chachma is really where the person is searching for MS. And if the search is not on, I don't care how smart he is, he's not going to get there because he's not looking in the right direction. So therefore, Shlomo Melech says, anyone who has that kind of a personality, that he waits and he enjoys drinking, it means that's what he really enjoys in life, that's what he looks forward to, that's his highest pleasure, such a person can never become a chacham. It's impossible. So that's what the Ashmadai said. Late Hayayin Homer Shechar V'chol Shogebo Lo Yechkan. So the Ashmadai said he didn't want it. Amazing thing. You see, again, I mean, you see, this is not a simple matter to Chazal. I mean, you see clearly. Chazal was saying the Ashmadai was very intelligent. As a matter of fact, he's quoting Mishle, which is Shlomo HaMelech's writings. Also strange, huh? He's quoting Mishle, which is Shlomo HaMelech's writings, and he's saying, I'm not going to drink this yayin because the yayin leads the person away from chachma, and I want chachma. Okay, I'm just pointing out as I said before, I'm not going to give an interpretation. Just point it out. Go ahead. Chsiv, moreover.
Chsiv, nus v'yayin v'tiro shikach lev.
That's from Hosea. Okay. And what is Hosea? It's the same idea. Hosea, of course, was much later than the Ashmadai, much later than Shlomo Melech. But nevertheless, it doesn't matter that it's later or earlier. What it means is that the pasuk is only reflecting a certain truth and a certain idea. So the Chazal used that pasuk, but that was the idea that he used. He used the same idea as Hosea. So you see, obviously, the head of the demons, the Ashmadai, is on a very high level. He's Machavan to Nevi'im, to Divrei Nevi'im. And he agrees with the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech and Mishle. An amazing thing over here. Yeah. And what does he add? What did Hosea add, basically? Well, we're on the Pesukim. Worthwhile understanding the puzzle. What did Hosea add that you didn't have in Mishle? Okay.
Well, it seemed the first pasuk was just saying that this is not the way, but Hosea seems to be supplementing it by saying that it's actually going to be an impediment. Also, I mean, it's actually going to, it actually takes you away from it. It's not.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Correct. In other words, znus yayin v'siro yikachle means like this. The first pasuk of Mishle is talking about a certain personality. The personality, it's very prevalent, like I said, in America. The personality that looks forward to what they call the happy hour. I mean, that's what it looks forward to. Go through a day, and this is in general. That person will never become a chacham, okay? So this country basically is not going to produce a fantastic amount of chacham. That's the first pasuk. But the second pasuk, znus yayin v'siro shikach leiv, is something else. It's saying that one thing to say that if that's your personality, you're not going to become a chacham. But it's saying more. It's saying that the activity, the indulgence in these things, in znus and in yayin, is yikach lev. It means it has an effect on the personality that it grabs the lathe. And once it grabs the lathe, see, the first pasuk is saying such a personality will not become a chacham. Fine. But that means as long as he stays that way, he cannot become a chacham. But now the question is, how difficult is it to get out of this? That's a separate question. Could be it's easy. Could be it's not difficult. Okay? It's just Shlomo Melech saying, as long as you're on this pattern, you're never going to become a chacham. Doesn't mean you have to stay in that pattern. So the second pasuk in Hosea tells you, you aren't getting out of this so easy. Nus yayin v'sirosh yikach lei. That means it grabs the emotions. So therefore, once he engages and indulges in this, it's not simply a matter of what kind of personality he has, but he is locked in. He's not getting out so quick. Because it's yikach lei. His emotions are grabbed and he can't get out. He's stuck in it. So first of all, he can't ever get chachma because of the nature of the personality. And the second thing is, you cannot get out of this. This is not something that's easy to break. This is something which has you. It has you, so to speak. Yikach lei. It grabs you. It has you. Your emotions are locked into this thing. So that's what the Ashmadai said. The Ashmadai complimented the first pasuk with the second one. He says, don't think I'm going to drink yayin. First of all, I know that personality is devoid of chachma. And secondly, once you do it, you can't get out of it. So there's two things. You have to look at it. There's two bad aspects to it. One, okay, but these two means that you're gonna, basically. That's what the Ashmadai said, okay? So he didn't want to drink it. Loishti, he would not drink it. Of course, you have to ask, over here, in terms of the mushroom, what is the difficulty with the mushroom? What's difficult about the mushroom? There's something that's pretty glaring over here, in terms of the mushroom. Do you see the point?
Well, what's Shlomo plan to do with the wine? Get him drunk?
Excuse me?
What's Shlomo plan to get him drunk in this case?
No, but before we get to that, I don't even know what the objective is. But up to this point, there's something very difficult. Yeah, what's the difficulty? There is something here that's pretty, seems to me pretty clear. Unless I'm making a mistake, I'm missing a point here, but it seems to me that one would be able to raise the question here very simply that what was his whole trick in Ayo Ben Yoyoda's trick? What did he do? He didn't want to break the seal. So therefore, what did he do? He drained it from the bottom. Then he dug from the top, and he said the wine should drip in, right? Then the Ashmadai came, and he saw a seal was fine, so he opened it up. I mean, what do you need this for? Since he saw his wine, he said he's not going to drink it. So why didn't he just put wine in his bar?
Didn't work.
What?
Didn't work.
Didn't work?
Benayahu's trick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Benayahu's trick didn't work, so what was the purpose of the whole trick? You have to dig a bar underneath, drain it out, dig a bar on top, to pour so that it'll funnel it in, and then he could see that his seal is on there, so he's very happy. He opens it up, and lo and behold, it's wine. But he's not drinking anyway. So what is the whole trick for? That is something I think that is significant. But anyways, go ahead, continue.
Why put in the wine altogether?
Yeah, why?
Well, even if he knows he's going to drink it, why put in the wine?
That's another question. Yeah. What his objective was in putting in the wine. But I'm saying his method is difficult because his method doesn't work because it says he didn't drink it and he started quoting his psukim. So why don't you just all you have to do is put in the wine, he'll come back and he needs a drink. He sees his seal was tampered with and then he'll start quoting the psukim then. What do you have to have him so disappointed? He was so happy. So he checked the seal. The seal was good. What do you need that for? I mean, that's obviously not doing anything. That's pretty clear and obvious that was completely unnecessary for this story. Okay, good.
So, kitachi lo sagile.
Right.
What does that mean?
Tachi is he got thirsty.
Oh, okay. So, ishti rava.
Ishti, so he got thirsty, couldn't contain himself.
Oh.
They're very thirsty. So then Rava
Vigana.
Rava Vigana.
So Robin became very satisfied. And then... Yes, what was I say? Raman spoke to Rava Tasmei. Rava Tasmei, Rava. So Rava means the guy that's really fully saturated, so to speak, with good liquid. He's very, he's in good condition. Rava Vagana. So he drank, he was really saturated, felt great, Vagana, and he fell asleep. Okay. Stuck over near them. He became unconscious. Okay.
It seems like the field process is also a useless asana. If he's so thirsty when he gets back, he can't help drinking. I'm going to feel
it. Say it again?
If asana is so thirsty when he gets back,
right,
he can't help drinking.
Right.
I'm going to fail for him is also useless.
I just didn't know a little bit about it.
Here's the seal itself. Having a flashman die, what's the point of the seal? Because he comes back and he's very thirsty anyway. The seal is purposeless.
And that's correct. That's part of the question we asked. In other words, what's the whole purpose of the seal and the, and what do you have to go around the seal for? He's going to get thirsty anyway. The only reason he drank was because he had nothing else to drink. So that's it. So he would have drank the wine anyway. Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, there definitely is something. There's no question that Chazal, there was an intention on the part of Chazal that's part of the riddle over here. Divrei Chachamim v'Chidoshim, that's part of the riddle. Okay, go ahead.
Nachis Asas, I think it's
just... Okay, so finally, so he went unconscious, right? Ishti Rav Vagani, he went to sleep. Okay.
Nachis Asas, Rashi, Dinyahu, Min HaYilon, so I guess...
He's waiting up on the tree watching.
Right.
He's observing from the tree.
So, Shada Bey Shushiltas, Shushiltas Dame. That's the.
They talk about Shushiltas, they took the chain.
And then what did he do with the chain?
Put it around his neck.
Oh. Okay, so he asar.
And he locked him. He locked it up.
Okay. He also have a call.
Mifarzal.
So Amarley,
he went crazy. Rashi says he. So he locked him up with the chain and the ring, and then when he finally woke up, so he was going crazy. Rashi, Mishtageya, he was going crazy trying to break loose.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So Amarley, Shema Demorach Allah, Shema Demorach.
Right. So then he said, don't go crazy. Because the name of your master is on you. The name of the master is on you. Where's the name of the master?
On the ring of the chain.
On the ring of the chain. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Anyone with any kind of intelligence sees that this Chazal is trying to convey some serious ideas over here. Okay?
So, Kinokile, the Asimato Dikla, so Chafbe. I'm not sure what that means.
Okay. He knocked it away for us. So he took him, and he was walking. He was apparently just walking with him, going with him.
Oh, was he with the Ashvede?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
Mata Diklas, they came by a tree.
That's a chafbe. So, he cut it with him. He cut it with a tree.
Chafbe means he rubbed up against it.
Oh, rubbed up against it. Okay.
Shadya.
Oh, no.
And he knocked it down. Correct.
And he what?
I think it means he knocked it down.
Okay.
He brushed against the tree and knocked the tree down.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The Marco Levesa.
So Shadya.
Shadya. Again.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
Brushed up against the house, knocked it down.
Mato Gabe.
Kubo.
Kubo.
Tahi Amalasa.
Tahi Amalasa. Okay.
Oh, Kubo the Tzaydi. It's a small, like a small tent.
Yeah.
Drift. Sukkah, Sukkah, and then Trif.
Okay.
Okay. The Amalta from this Amana lived in this little Trif. So, what happened?
Nafka Ichnanale. Kafa Lekumte Mine. So, what happened?
She came out to, like, ask him not
to. Oh, to rub against it. She asked him not to rub against it.
Don't rub against it, okay?
So, East Bar Bay, Garma.
Broken bone, yeah.
Okay.
So then he bent in the opposite direction, correct?
Right. He bent the other way
and broke bone. Bent the other way. And what happened to him?
He broke his bone. One of his bones.
He broke one of his bones.
Okay, I see. Amar Haini Dhsiv Allah Shon Raka Tishbar.
Okay. Another Paskin Mishlei. He likes Shlomo Melech's
work.
Work. Likes very much. Yeah, what's the Pasik? What's the Pasik?
Mishlei.
Shon Raka. Loshon Raka.
Yeah, Pasik Tezvav.
Tezvav. Yeah, ba'orech ha'payim yifute kutzim, loshon raka tishbor goram. It means to say that the basic shot is, it means to say that with erech ha'payim. With Erech HaPayim, I mean, the plain shot to me, see, I mean, just looking at the first time. But it means to say that if someone, it's very good advice. It means to say that sometimes you can't help yourself and you're under the, unfortunately, the worst situation, I think, psychologically for a human being, is to be under the power of another human being. That's kutzim. So sometimes, but you can't help it. Sometimes, look, that's it. The situation is such that you're not in your own jurisdiction. You're under somebody else's power, somebody else's jurisdiction. So he says, "Be'orech ha'payim yifute kutzim." That sometimes not everybody. I mean, sometimes a person is Russian, no matter what. I mean, but sometimes you have a person that is a powerful individual. And he has a lot of power, and he starts tormenting you, and he starts giving it to you. So it says if you're an Erech HaPayim and you're sovel and you don't complain, that many times he will because of that. He'll retract, and he'll stop, and he'll have rachmanis on you. Of course, it's a certain type of personality. I mean, not always is that true. I mean, the truth of the matter is that that was something that the Jews did with Hitler, Machshamam, and the Nazis, and of course, it didn't work in that case. It doesn't mean everybody. It means that those are abnormal monsters. But it means to say that a person ordinarily, many times a person who is a man of power, he enjoys the power and enjoys the ability to be vicious towards his underlings, but at the same time, he has a guilt about it too. So if you fight him back, so then he has no guilt, and he'll keep going until he destroys it. But if you are an Erech HaPayim and you're so well with Soros, so then it brings out that side of his nature which has guilt about his desire. Because a normal person usually has both sides. He has an instinctual desire, but then there's another side. He has a guilt about it. So what he's saying, Shlomo Melech is saying, in a normal person, the normal individual who is a man of power is he has a guilt side too. So therefore, if you fight him, he'll kill you without guilt. You're taking away his guilt the moment you fight him back. But if you're an Erech HaPayim, so then what happens is the other side of his personality starts coming out. Many times, I've seen it many times. And therefore, what happens is that he'll be Yefuta Kutzim. So then you'll get to his good side. You'll get to his good side. But if you oppose him, if you try to oppose him, you try to show that you're tough, then he'll destroy you, he'll kill you. So the right thing to do is to submit and to take the abuse, as hard and as difficult as it is, but in the taking of the abuse, which on an instinctual psychological level, you think, no, I shouldn't take the abuse because I should, on the contrary, show them that's not just. I should fight for my rights. So Shlomo says, no, that's the way you would think is the right approach, but it's not true. Because if it wasn't really a question of justice, then you'd be right. But it's not a question of justice. This man must exercise his power. That's what makes him happy. Is that's why he's in that position. That's why it's a custom, because he enjoys that exercising his power over other human beings. That's his nature. He's a vicious individual. Vicious, he caters to his vicious instincts. He likes to subdue people and to torment them. That's his enjoyment. But, so if you're going to fight him back on justice, so on the contrary, now he sees he's not submitting, he gets angrier and angrier, and then he has no guilt. But if you let him torment you, in other words, let him get away with his injustice, after a while, you're going to hit the guilt side. And then he'll be mafuta. That's what he's telling. That's what Shlomo Aruch is saying. That's the advice he's giving. That's the first part of the puzzle. And then he says, the Lashon Rako Tishpor Goran. He says that the Lashon Rako, and if you speak in the Lashon Rach, so it breaks it breaks his bone. You understand? Gorm means something hard, a bone. So that's the parallel statement, phrasing. He says, Lashon Rako Tishpor Gorm. That he's using as a marshal. Lashon Rako means very soft language. Being soft breaks the heart. So there again, he's saying that it's really counterintuitive. Your intuition is that you should fight for your rights. But no, it's counterintuitive. And then he's expressing it semantically in that way. Something soft breaks the heart. It's to show that it's counterintuitive. Lashon Rako, soft speech. You think of it, soft speech. If I speak softly so I won't accomplish anything. No, that is more powerful. That'll break the bone. That really breaks the bone of the ruler. It crushes him because he can't stand up now, because now he's a very, very powerful force. And that force is more powerful than anything. It smashes his bones, breaks his bones. That's what he's saying. That's what Shlomo Aruch is saying. That the soft speech breaks the bone. How does the soft speech break the bone, which is so hard? Because the soft speech is counterintuitive, but the soft speech brings into play another dimension in the personality of the Kotzin, which is very, very powerful, and it breaks him, and it breaks him down. It is an amazing thing. An amazing thing. I'm not talking about, with the exclusion of a type of evil like a Nazi, Yimach Shemam, and that particular thing, but ordinarily, in ordinary Russia, it is an amazing thing. And even a Nazi has it also, but it's a different kind of a situation. I don't want to, it requires different analysis. But in an ordinary individual, even a Russia, I've seen people that you would think that they're hell-bent on rishis. You can't stop them, but there is always a guilt. The only thing is how the guilt is expressed is many, if you don't know, you have to have a certain knowledge in order to use it to your advantage. Sometimes, it's not a simple matter. You have to be able to uncover it. But Shlomo is saying, is giving you a general picture of the ordinary man of power. I would say his description today is exactly what you have in the court system. And that's why the people, when does a judge really slam down the gavel? When the person is not repentant. They always say he has no remorse. He has no remorse. What does remorse have to do with it? I don't know what remorse has to do with it. And how can you really tell if he has remorse? But everybody knows that when a person is a criminal is condemned, if he expresses remorse, then they'll let him go. Give him off, years. It was the years of his life. It's in the sentence. It'd make a difference in years of life. Why? Because he said that he's sorry and he did that. But what is it? It's a group of words that he could prepare. It doesn't even mean anything. But you see, even the fantasy of that works. It's an amazing thing. Like an additional dimension to the pasuk, really. It doesn't even have to be sincere. They even know it was prepared. But the appearance of it, it's such a, Shlomo Melech was was very much on target. You see that even the appearance of this type of a Lashon Racha still has a tremendous effect. In the judicial system, this is everything. If you observe, you'll see that the most important thing is before a judge is this pasuk. That's the advice you need. If the person really is guilty, I mean, even if he's not guilty, it doesn't matter actually. It doesn't matter. Because the point is that if he's not guilty, so you have to have the judge see your point. And you see your point, you have to get those emotions in line. So you have to take the abuse. If you're not ready to take the abuse, you want to fight for your rights, you will definitely lose. That's basically the lesson of the prophet. So over here, so Shlomo Arutzon, you have to go into the counterintuitive. To act as if you're guilty, if you're innocent, if you act as if you're guilty and you take the abuse, then you have a chance at finally being vindicated. See, that your innocence should be known. But if you really go for justice, you haven't got much of a chance because you're going against the judge as a judge because he's a katzin. Why is he a katzin? Because that's what he enjoys, exercising power over people. So you're going against that primary emotion to get it. You haven't got a chance. So the only way to be vindicated is to act as if you're guilty and sustain the abuse. That ordinarily would be fit a guilty person, then you'll be able to proclaim your innocence. But if you don't take that route, if you go in the intuitive manner, you're going to lose. So in the second part of the pasuk, that's what he says. It's a parallel phrases: lashon raka and the soft speech. I mean, speech where the person is self-abasing and very. He's contrite, you see. That kind of lesson breaks the balance. It's an amazing bust. So that's what the Ashmadai said, because it worked on him. That's what he quoted that bust. The lesson raka tishaber tishbor gar. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
So he saw what Samya?
A blind man.
Blind person, okay. That he was kind of, you know, not making his way too well.
Aske l'orche.
So he put him on his way.
An amazing story. I mean, it doesn't sound like such a demon to me. He's a chacham. He's a tremendous chacham. He knows Mishle very well. And now he sees the blind man, and what does he do? He puts him on the right path. Okay. Yeah?
Hazor rav yudahava katsoi b'orcha. Aske l'orche. So he saw...
the shikar.
Okay. And he also straightened him out.
He also put him right there. Help him on.
Okay. So Chaza Chadvasa, the Habu Komachtila, the
Bacha. He saw a Simcha party. What is it?
Uh-huh.
He saw a Chasana.
Right.
Ruach Nasus Kala.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And Mabin Besimcha.
Uh-huh.
And what did he do?
The Bacha.
He cried.
Uh-huh.
He cried. Shame lahu gavra dahava ka'oma l'ushpacha. What is it?
Sorry?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Shama.
Shame lahu gavra dahava ka'oma l'ushkapa.
Right.
So obviously, Misani.
The chef shni. So the guy asked the shoemaker to make him shoes for how long?
7 years.
Should last them for 7 years. He wanted a good investment. Okay.
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 What is that?
He left.
Okay.
He left. Okay.
So Chazahu ka Kasma, Daba Kasim.
Right. So this magician was doing magic.
So Achich.
Again.
He left.
Right. Okay, so it tells you a few things. I mean, this is the second part of the Chazal, the Mashal, and another component of the Mashal in the second part. We have to really see how to break it down, but where it tells you is practices. It tells you is practice. Basically, what does it tell you? It tells you that he's, first of all, it shows you that he's basically a good individual. I mean, of course, he listens to the Almana, correct? As a matter of fact, to the point where he really harmed himself. He really hurt, he broke his bone. And then it shows you he has concern for the blind man, concern for the drunk. And then also, then we don't know why he saw the simcha and he was crying. And he saw the guy ordering the shoes and he was laughing. And he saw the magician and he was laughing too. But these are all the things that Chazal are pointing at. You see, this, they're pointing about things about his personality. I mean, these really are things that they're pointing out in the mushel when he's going on the road, because they're saying that these are significant aspects of his personality. It's like that, that's why they put it in like parenthetical, because really he's on the way to Shlomo HaMelech, but they're on the way to telling, what does it mean on the way to telling you this? It means that these are significant. If you're trying to understand who he is or what he is, they're telling you significant things about him. Okay, go ahead.
Later on, he explains why.
Yeah, later on, some of them. Explain all of them or some of them?
All of them, except for the Amana.
Okay. And then, yeah, okay, good, fine. That's good. That's good. That means that they've explained further what these things are. So then you have more information about how to unravel his personality. Go ahead.
Sorry? Okay. Okay. Iluha Lagabe the Shlomo Atlasa Yume. Atlasa Yu. Okay.
Right.
So, okay. Yume Kama Amarlohu Amilo Kaboili Malka Lagabe. Amarle Anfe Mishtoi.
So he was asking. So he said, why doesn't Shlomo HaMelech come to visit me? Right? Am I right?
Yeah.
So what did he answer? I'm saying Mishtaya. He drank too much. Shlomo drank too much.
Okay. So
what did he do, Rashmadai?
So Shaka Levinsa.
Osivachavarta. He took one brick and put it on the other one.
So Asu Amrulei Lishlomo.
So they wanted to tell Shlomo what he did.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right.
Amrulehu, Hachi Amrulehu. Go and tell him this. Hadur Ashkuya Lemachar.
No. Hadur Ashkuya, right?
Oh, Ashkuya. Okay. I guess what does that mean? It means go and drink again. Okay, fine. Lemachar Amrulehu. Okay, so another kind of party, I guess. Yay too much, okay.
So what did he say to Shlomo? So also Amale le Shlomo, Amalehu, Hachi Amalehu. This is what he was saying to you. He was saying to you, Hadarish Giyua. Make him drink again?
Yeah.
In other words, that's why I put one brick on top of the other.
Right.
Do it again.
Wait, what's that? I didn't miss that. What was that?
Do the same thing again.
He was saying, in other words, the Ashman, Shlomo HaMelech was interpreting what he's telling you. In other words, Shlomo HaMelech, he spoke in the riddles. He spoke in the Shalom.
Mm-hmm.
He put one brick on top of the other.
Uh-huh.
So they told Shlomo HaMelech what he did.
Oh, I see.
Ashman I spoke in riddles.
Ashman I spoke in riddles. I mean, he put one thing on top of the other. He just did an action which apparently you're supposed to understand from the action what he means. So they told it to Shlomo. So Shlomo knew right away. He told him he's saying, this is what he means. He's telling you, Hadar Ishkiyua. Make him drink again.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Go ahead.
Lamacha Amalahu. So this is the Ashmedai speaking now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why isn't... Okay. Amule Anse Michla. So he's eating now. He's like, he ate too much. So Shaka Labinsa. So Mechaverta. Osa Ara. So
again, he did the same thing. Put the brick on top of the other.
On top of the other.
Nope. He took the one from the top, and what did he do? He put it on the ground.
Oh, he put it on the ground. Okay. So Asu Amrle Lishlomo Amrlu Hachi Amar Oh, so yeah. They told him, okay, they again told Shlomo like what he had done. So Amar Lechu Negido Mine, Michle.
Michle. Means stop, don't, means stop him from meeting. Stop seeing me.
Okay. So Lechlo, Lechel Plus Yumi, Aya Lechame, Shakal Kanya, Umashach Arba Garmidi. So at the end of 3 days, he came up and what did he do?
He took a stick. Correct?
Yeah.
And he outlined on the ground, like Moshech HaBar Gamidi. It means that he outlined on the ground 4 amos, or Gamidi, whatever it is. The Shadi Kameh, and he gave it to him. He gave him the stick.
He gave Shlomo the stick?
Shlomo the stick,
yeah. Uh-huh. Shlomo the michti, kimai sahu gavra, leisle behadin, alma, ela arba'a garmidi.
Right.
Ashta, kivshu se lakuli alma, velo, oh, so lo savas, ad kivshu nami lididi.
Unbelievable. He said to him, when this man dies, meaning, he said it out of respect, he didn't say you. He says, when that man dies, meaning Shlomo, all he has is these 4 cubits on the ground. He says, now this guy captured the entire world, and he's not happy until he captures me too?
Boy.
Not too stupid, huh?
No.
Amalei.
So lo kavoina minach midi. So he said, I don't need anything from you. Ba'ina the ibnaya the base hamigdash. The kabai the kamibai le shmira.
Right.
So he's telling what he needs him. What he needs.
So I don't want you. I don't want you. I don't want to capture you.
Right.
The only thing I need you for is I want to build a base hamigdash, and I have to have the shamira. And that's why I captured you. Amazing story. Is that Amalei?
Amalei, Lididi lo masterly Lasara.
Lasara
Diyama Masile. Lasara Diyama Masile. Lo Yahile, Ella Latarnagola.
Latarnagola, bruh.
Bruh.
That I don't have it. But who has it? The Tsar of the Ocean has it. Tsar of the Ocean has it. And the, and he only gives it over to the wild, the wild chicken. Wild chicken. Now I don't think there's any more wild chickens left. I think in those days we only have domesticated chickens. But apparently there was a wild chicken in those days. So he says he gives it over to the wild rooster. Okay, you good?
The Nehemonle.
Ashwase.
Ashwase. So I guess he made him take a shwana?
Yeah, made
him
take a shwana.
Okay.
Right, trust him. Trust him when he was sure.
I think.
Right.
Umay Avi Bey. So,
what does he do with it?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, right. What does he do with it?
So, Mamtile Leture Delesahu Yashuv.
Right, Yashuv. Right. He goes to a mountain where there's no settlement.
Umanachla. What's that? Umanachla. Ashina
the Tura. Ashina
the Tura. Ufakatura. Umanki.
Point of the mountain.
Right.
Umayti Bizarni Neilane, the Shadi Hasam.
Right.
The Havi Yashuv.
Havi Yashuv, right? He makes a Yashuv. How does he do it? He takes a place with the hard mountain and puts the Shomer on. The Shomer really disintegrates the mountain. And then what does he do? It's Bakeya Ma'at, Kimim Shrit. And then he throws in seeds and the Rasha Shemashlos from Zero Ilonos, who Gedele Milonos Sham, who is Panish Man. That's what he used it for. And then he has the trees, and then he creates the yeshiv, whatever Rashi says he supports himself with, or whatever it means. Behind the Matagaminan, go ahead.
Behind the Matagaminan, Nagartura.
Nagartura. Huh? Nagartura. That's why Shamir is translated as Nagartura.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, Bad Kokina, the Tarnagola, Bra. Zislay, the Nave, Zislay, Vinay.
Yeah.
Hafuya, Lakine, Zugisa,
Orti.
So, what does that mean?
I mean, so they found the tanago, the wild tanago, that has children, and they covered over its nest with glyphs. Like a glyph, clear glyph, right? The chukas, the arashis, kadeshi, yiras, bunav, so this tanago, this wild tanago, can see his children, but he can't really get to them. So then what does he do?
So he also, boyu lame al below mati.
Yeah, he couldn't get to his kids.
Okay. So azal, I see shmira. So I guess the chicken bought the shmira?
Well, then he bought the shamir.
For the shamir, okay. The osve,
Osve Eluya. He put the shamir on the glass so it'll eat real and it'll be able to get to his children.
I see. So Ramabe Kala Shtaya.
Ramabe Kala Shtaya shouted at it.
I see.
And Shadya.
Shadya Shkale. Okay.
So he dropped it, right? Dropped it. Shakale, so they took it. So they took it. That's where they got the shomer out of the out of the wild tanago.
I see. Azal Chonok Nafshe.
Ashwase. So he went and killed himself because he violated his shura. Unbelievable. Yeah, Amalei B'nayo.
What was the shura?
The shura was going to return it. He takes the shomer from the Sar Yam. And he swears to him that he's going to return it.
Oh, I see.
But now they tricked him, and now he lost it, and now he went and killed himself.
Okay. So Amalei, B'niyahu, my time, Oki Chazise.
Now when they got him, okay, so now they ask the, now they go back to the Ashmedai. Okay, and explain. Okay. Go ahead, my time, huh?
So, my time, Oki Chazise, Lahu Samya. To have a katayi be'orcha, I speak say le'orche.
Right.
So amalei mecharzi aleha the berakia the tadi gamurhu.
They said berakia. You know the tadi gamur. Go ahead.
Man davale nicha nafshe.
Man davale nicha nafshe. Someone who helps him out.
Zachi la'alma.
Zachi la'alma da'asi. So that's a big thing. I mean, so therefore he said he wanted zachi la'alma da'asi. So he helped out the poor person because it was a tzadik gamur. Okay.
My time, Oki Chazise Lahu Ravya de Katoy Borcha Asikte Lorche Omele Macharzi Ale Berakia de Resha Gamurhu. Vaavdi Le Nicho Nafshe Kihechi de Lichle La Alma. What does that mean?
Okay, so he says Resha Gamur. So he helped him out in order that he should lose his chelik
I see.
In Olam Haba.
I see. That's nice.
That's what Chazal say, that God repays the Rishayim.
Right.
In Olam Hazeh, because it further drives them into their evil. Yeah. Go ahead.
So my time, Oki Chazise, Lahu, Chadvasa, Bachis, Amalei, Boi, name of Gavra, the good lost in Yomim. Boy Mintar Liyavim Katan, place Hashanim.
Boy name is Gavra, but the good lost in Yomim. This person, he's going to die within a month. Boy Mintar Liyavim Katan, place Hashanim. She's going to have to wait 13 years until she remarries. Yavim Katan.
So my time aki shamt aki shamaste lahu gavra amarle lerushchava avili misane leshev shanin asachichas. Why did you laugh? Amarle ahu shiva yomi lesle misani leshav.
Ahu shiva yomi lesle misani leshev.
I see. 7 days again.
He's not going to live 7 days. He needs shoes for 7 years.
Oh, I see.
And he knew that he was going to die. So he left. Over there he left. Interesting. Go ahead.
My time, Oki Chazise, Lahu Kasma, Dava Kasi, Machichas.
Yeah.
Amalei, Dahava Yosiv, Avi, God.
They get to the Malka.
Get to the Malka. Lixon.
Lixon, my deika.
Lixon, my deika.
Today. So he knew he was sitting on a fortune.
He couldn't even detect that.
And he couldn't even know that.
Oh, the magician was, you mean?
Yep. Oh. The magician.
So tarchi gabe ad the benayel leveis hamigdash yomacha.
But he kept them there. Shlomo Alfim and Amgar kept them there. So he built the Beis HaMikdash. Interesting.
So Yom Echad, Hava Koy Lechudei.
Right.
Amalek, Siv, Kiso Afos, Reimo. Marinon, Kiso Afos, Elu, Malachi Ashore. Reim Elu HaShedim. My Rabba Saichu, Minon. Amalek, Shakul, Shushilta, Minoi. Zahavli, Iskasach.
Vachsilach. Yes, I said to him, he says, what is the, he says, Reim, he says, Kisophos Reimlo. Reim, Kisophos is Malach HaShareis, and Reim is the Shadim. He says, what is your power? What's so special about you? So he said, take off the chain and the ring, and you'll find out. I'll show you. Go ahead.
So, Shokle, Lishushil, Tamine, Viyahible, Askate.
Yeah.
Bile.
So he gave him his ring. Bale, swallowed him up.
I'm sorry, what?
He swallowed him up.
Ose lechad gafe virakia. Lechad gafe ga'ara. Piske arba mea parsi Allah ishaita amar Shlomo.
All right, so what happened? So one wing went up to the sky, one wing to the ground. Paske Abon Mea Parsi. He threw him 400 miles, whatever, more than miles. Parsi is more. But the, Allahi Shaita Amar Shlomo, so that's what Shlomo Melech said. My Yisrael Vahir Gemar comes back to reality. Long story. Vahir comes back to the Pasek. That's what Chazal say. This whole story is to explain Allahi Shaita Amar Shlomo, my Yisrael Adam B'chol Amalo. In other words, Chazal is saying this whole mashal explains the pasuk. That's an amazing thing. That's what they're telling you. If you understand this mashal, you'll understand the pasuk.
It seemed like a simple pasuk.
Seems like a simple pasuk, but it's a long way to the pasuk. Okay. V'zeh yochelti mikol amali mai v'zeh ravishmo good and answers the magnetic more just. Just continuing. What's this there? Charama Maklo v'charama Gundo. Yeah, one says it means a stick, and one says it didn't even have a stick. It means it's clothes. Okay? That's Machloikas. What's Machloikas? Anyways, Hayamasa l'psachem. So Shlomo HaMelech, that's when he lost his Melucha, and he was, this is the story everybody knows. It's Masa l'psachem, so he's going from door to door. Kalecha the Mata, wherever he came, what did he say? Ani Kalevas, he's the Melech HaShobri Shalayim. I was the king once. So no one believed him. He Mata Gavai Sanhedrin. So what happened by the king of Sanhedrin? Amru, they say, Amru Abban Mirdei, Shota Bachadim Milsul Osorach. A Shota doesn't keep on saying the same thing. In other words, a Shota has a lot of shtos. He won't keep saying the same shtos, so, you know, he varies. And over here we see he keeps saying the same thing. My high. Who is this guy? Amru Leilev Nayo, Kaboy Loch Malko Gabe. Did the king come to visit you? Amalahu Lo. So that indicated that it was Shlomo. Shochle Malkavso. So they sent to the women, the queens. Krosi Malko Gabecha. Does the Melech come by you? Shochle in Krosi. He does come here. Shochulei, so they sent to them, Bidku Bakare, check his feet. Because the shade has feet like, has different kind of feet like chicken. Shochulehu Bemuki Kaosi, that he comes, the Katovalahu Binidu Sayhu, the Katovalahu Nami Labas Sheva, Ime. So in other words, it said that he comes in his stocking feet, so we can't tell. He comes with his stocking. So therefore, they knew that the Ashmedai took over his kingdom, and this was really Shlomo. That the one that took over was really was a An impostor, that's right. Okay. And they gave him the ring and the chain that the shame was on. So when he saw it, he took off. He ran away. But he still was always afraid of him. Out of fear. You never get over the fear of the Ashmedai. That's it. Okay, that's the story. Alright? Okay, so this week at least we got the basic facts. Alright, so you'll think about it next week coming. What do you think?
Okay.
Alright, but one thing you see, it is not, you see, it's pregnant with ideas. I mean, anyone that, Divrei Chachamim v'Chidoshim is pretty obvious. Any fairly intelligent person could see that there are many ideas that Chazal are trying to teach Derech Mashal. Okay.
While we were discussing Mishlei, because he brings up a lot of the Ashmedai, brings up a lot of psukim from Mishlei. Seems the Ashmedai was fond of Mishlei. So I just wanted to mention, you know, that a lot of times there's certain things that are misquoted from psukim. You find people who are misquoted. Like, for instance, people always say lo lachachamim lachem. That means to say that they imply that an intelligent person doesn't know how to earn a living. Lo lachachamim lachem. It really means exactly the opposite, because Shlomo says b'tzel ha'chochma b'tzel ha'kasef, that a person who is a chacham is a chacham in all his endeavors, and therefore everything he does with chacham, and therefore he has the proper results in the financial world. But lo lachacham lachem means, nevertheless, he says, there's no security, because I have seen, in spite of that, lo lachacham, I have seen chachamim who, no matter how intelligent, no matter how, and everything they did according to chachma, nevertheless, it just didn't work out. So he was, that's in Kehelis. And Kehelis, he's telling you that there's a general rule, but it's not something that a person can rely on. It can't give you security, because there's always that exceptional case. But people take the last part of the statement, lalacham lechem, and they mistake it for the general principle. The general principle is not that way. Yeah, as a matter of fact, when you study Chazal always in Psukim, always in the Psukim in the Navi, and Chazal always indicate exactly the opposite. That a person, that when they want to indicate a person's a fool, they say he loses his money. It means he's a fool. That's one of the simanim of a fool. Like T. Rosh, the Gemara says, a person that drinks too much is T. Rosh. It means he drinks too much, he becomes poor, he loses money because he becomes a fool. So folly is always associated just the opposite with the lack of success. But people always quote the part that they want to that fits in line with their philosophy. So therefore, those individuals, I want to say that there's no such thing as using chachma being successful in the financial world. So they'll quote lachom lachem. But he was really saying exactly the opposite. Another case like that is in Mishlei. This is the Mishnah, I just wanted to bring it to your attention. But people always quote Mayim Ginuvim Yimtak. Everybody does. It wasn't me. It means to say that the stolen waters are sweeter, right? So people take this as being a correct way of life, that this is the true psychological principle. We're not allowed to have it, but it really is much tastier. If I can get it, I'd really enjoy it. Okay? And people think that this philosophy is endorsed by Shlomo HaMelech. The problem is they don't look at the psukim before. You see? Because the psukim first like this. Aishas kisilus homia. So it means the aishas means is a representation of the personality of the fool that calls forth. Pisayus uval yadamar. She doesn't know anything. That's the knows is there's a woman that's the represents Torah and Chachma, and then there's the other one that represents folly and stupidity. says, Yoshva lefesach beisal kisei merome karas. And she sits out, so to speak, this voice of folly speaks out in front of her house. Likro la'ovrei derech, to call all those who are passing by her, calls hamiyashim orchoso, those who are walking straight. Mifesi yosher heina, who's a fool? Come over here. L'chassar leiv, and the one who is devoid of understanding, v'amrelo, and she says, the voice of folly says, mayim genuvim yimtaku v'lechem sasar mina. Exactly reversed. And then he concludes, v'lo yoda k'refoyim sham, and the fool doesn't know that's really the grave, that there are people buried there. That's the end. Sha'ol b'imke sha'ol k'ruha. All those who hearken to a voice wind up deep in the grave. So yeah, what does it mean? I mean, what is the pasuk? Pasuk is interesting. Pasuk means mayim genuvim yitaku is the philosophy of a fool. Why? Because it means like this. It means that an intelligent person really only wants something because what the thing can give him, even on a basic instinctual level. It means if a person wants a good meal, so an intelligent person will measure it based upon what that meal can give him in terms of pleasure. If that's the realm, so then he bases it upon the facts. In other words, this steak is very good, so I'm going to enjoy it. But a fool is a person who can't really assess what the thing is going to give him. So if he can't have it, because he can't have it, his fantasy starts playing. And therefore, he becomes attracted to the thing, not by virtue of what it really can give him, but by virtue of the fantasy that he has attached to it. So the fool, in other words, that's really what Shlomo Melech is saying, that a fool looks at things, we can't assess them in reality as to what they're really going to give him, how they're going to benefit him. But if he can't have something, because he can't have it, his fantasy starts playing. And once that happens, he starts overestimating the thing and attributing to the thing all kinds of properties that it doesn't really have. So that's really the derech of the shot of a fool of pesi. So mayim genuvim yimtaku is really the world of the fool. That he doesn't really see, just because he can't have it, so now his fantasies become attached to it. Then he starts projecting onto the thing all kinds of properties which doesn't have in reality, and he becomes obsessed with it, and then he tries to get it. But the truth of the matter is that when he gets it, he has to be in for a tremendous letdown, because all these things which he attached to it which don't exist. So mayim genuvim yimtaku is the voice of folly and of foolishness. It's an amazing thing. It's right in the past. But I think that with that we can understand something, a difficult chazal. Because chazal say that who has more schar? A person who is mitzvah v'osa or ain't a mitzvah v'osa. So the Gemara concludes that we hold that an individual's mitzvah v'osa is even greater. Okay? That would mean if a ben noyach would keep a mitzvah, would put on tefillin, so you have a kima mitzvah, because he could do any mitzvah in the Torah almost, but he would not have the same kima as a Yisroel who's mitzuviyosa. So the question is really, I mean, the logic is reverse. We should say a person that doesn't have to do it and goes and does it, so that's a higher level, because they recognize the good in the thing, and they're not forced to. When a person does it because they're coerced, and the coercion, that's a low level. Like Chazal said, Kofalei Markegius, that was a low level because they were coerced, they were forced. So why did Chazal say over here just the opposite, that Mitzvah V'Osa is greater? I think Chazal is. It doesn't mean Mitzvah V'Osa, a person who does it under coercion, because they don't really want to do it. It means they do it the right way. They do it for the real reason. What Chazal is saying is it's much more difficult to do it for the real reason when you have to do it. Because since you have to do it, you start fantasizing about you'd want to be free. It's like most people, they say, you know, well, your person always, a good Jew always has a fancy. What if you find out one day he's not a Jew, not a Israel? So most people say, well, okay, I'll go to McDonald's and then I'll become a, then I'll be Maguire again. Yeah, but the but the, but the but the point is, you see, that's the idea of the Mayan Gnuvim and Tukli. That's the idea that because you have to do it, so therefore you can't have that other thing. So you start attaching fantasies to that thing. That's really the story. That's really Adam Rishon. By Adam Rishon, that's really the Minamina Eitz. The pasuk says Kol Eitz Adon Achol Tochel. But only one eitz you can't eat from the eitz of dasar. What was it? So Chazal say it was. Some say it was grapes. Some say it was figs. Some say it was wheat. I mean, what are they telling you? They're telling you there's nothing special about it. No one gets excited about these things today. But because he couldn't have it, because it was nesar, so he became very excited about it. Atera isha, and they started to attach all these fantasies. Tovei slamachal v'chisavol reinayim v'nechmar eitz. All these attributes. Suddenly this common thing, which everybody has today, no one gets excited about, acquired all these attributes. So that's really the pshat in Gadol Mitzvah V'yosa. It means a person who is a mitzvah, because he is a mitzvah, he's at a disadvantage. Because he's a mitzvah, so his psyche, he's in a state where his psyche is prone to follow the ways of the fool of Mishlei and to fantasize about being free from the obligation. So if he does it for the real reason, if he does it in the proper way, just as if he were an Eina Mitzvah with the same, because he understands Lishma that this is really the value, that's much harder. That's much more. Then it means that he was Kovesh Yitzro, not only in regard to the good, understanding the good, but in regard to removing a psul of the psychological, which throws a person into fantasy. It means he overcame the world of fantasy because he was able to be Kovesh Yisro and do it for the right reason, in spite of the fact that he was a mitzvah. He also he did it me'ava. He was an obed me'ava, even though he was a mitzvah. That is much harder. That's a much harder thing. That's why Chazal say that God loves mitzvah. It's much more difficult. If you don't have that, then you're not thrown into the situation where the fantasy can start working, you see? And if you're not thrown into that situation, it's easier to do it for the right reason. But where you have the situation of Mitzvah, so then there's something, you're being thrown into a psychological state where a person has a tendency, because of that state, to fantasize about not doing it or about doing an avera, you see? And if he refrains and does it for the right reason, me'ava, he has overcome that emotion also. So that's a gadol mitzvah. So that's what we hold gadol mitzvah. Okay. Ram Mishle, so I mentioned this. But the, but now let's get back to that which I was requested to do, and that is to explain or to attempt to give an explanation of the famous Gemara about the Ashmedai. About the Ashmedai. Yeah. Okay, the thing is that there are different levels of understanding the Gemara. The Gemara is a very profound Gemara. It has a lot of aspects to it, a lot of details to it, as well as a general picture. Of course, the hardest part is always the general picture, but we'll have to work from the details. And I'll tell you perhaps what I think it is. Although I tell you in advance, I can't say for sure. And it's not like a tasteless, you know, where you have the information in front of you, and they're not trying to use mishalim in order to keep it actually. Keep the idea only among a certain level of understanding. I mean, in halacha, there's no such thing. Halacha, everything is open. Almost. Sometimes you have halacha de Amar and Kenny, which means you don't tell them on about it. But in Agadath, it's always concealed. Agadath is always concealed. So therefore, I can't say that my interpretation is the correct one. I can just point out certain things which, on certain ideas, I could say we have a great measure of certainty, and other ideas I have my measure of doubt concerning the pshat. But anyways, The key over here is to, the way to start off over here is to understand first some of the details and then work our way back to the general picture. Now, when it says about the Ashmedai, we raised this question last week, but when it describes the Ashmedai, so it says that he has this well, and he seals it with his own seal. Now, in order to fool him, what they did was they drained it from the bottom, and then they put another well on the top, they drained the water out, and then they replaced it with wine without touching the seal, so that when he came and he saw the seal, he knew it was his seal. But the strange thing is that when he opened it up, he recognized right away it was wine. And then quotes something from Mishlei, the Ashmedai. He says, "Late Hayayin Homo Sheikha V'chol Shogubola Yechkam." So, I mean, what does it mean? He means a person that looks forward to the, like I mentioned yesterday, the person looks forward to a state of shikris, to a state of intoxication, like in today's society. Such an individual, you know, they look forward to the end of the day where they can drink. Such an individual will never have chachma, because he's rooted in that and enjoying that emotional state. That's what he's after. He'll never get chachma. It's impossible, because in order to attain chachma, you have to have a certain amount of energy that's directed to that desires it. And if you don't have that, it doesn't matter. I mean, you can sit by a gemara all day, he'll never get it, because he doesn't really have the desire, the underlying desire for it. So that's what the Ashmedai said. Pretty intelligent Ashmedai. I mean, a good Ashmedai. He's looking for Chachm. Okay? Yeah, not what the way they translate the Ashmedai as the head of the demons. I mean, it's a bad translation. Okay? I mean, it's for lack of any other word. I mean, maybe you could use it, but the idea, the word is completely inappropriate. Okay. But anyways, as you can see, the question we raised was, so what was the trick? So then what happens? Then what happens is he sees it's wine and he doesn't want to take it because he quotes this pesukim, because the other pasuk, that the wine grabs a person once he gets involved in it, he can't get out of it. So it has an effect on a human being, that it's not just that if you desire it, it's no good, but once you engage in it, certain things you engage in, that's it, you did it. But over here, it grips you. And once you're in the grips, you can't get out of it. So that's what happened. I didn't want to drink the wine. I already had all the best reasons in the world. But then what happened to him? He started to get thirsty. And the thirst started to wear him down, and he drank it. So the question we asked was, so what's the whole story? He got thirsty. So why don't they just take out the, why do they have to fool him that way? Why don't they just break the seal and put in wine? And you have the same result. He's going to get thirsty. He's going to drink it. The answer is, you see, over here, what Chazal are depicting is a human trait. And the human, what it means is like this. It means it's giving you a picture of this Ashmedai. Now, forget about the word Ashmedai, but it's giving you a picture. It's giving you a certain, it's presenting a certain psychological profile. Okay, what is the profile? The profile is a person who is a controlled individual. You see, this individual wants Chachma, but he's very controlled. You see, now what they're showing now. Now, you see, what kind of a trait does he... But it's an interesting thing. It's a very beautiful idea that you see from this. They're showing you something about such an individual. You see? They're showing you an individual who wants... And then this is an average, what we would call an average good person. Or perhaps some people would even refer to the person as such. You see? It's not the ultimate level. It's not the ultimate level of Oved Me'ava. But it's the level of Kovashis Yitzro. Now, on that level... It's giving you a profile of the personality. What kind of a personality is it? What the story means is that if the seal were not, if he didn't have his seal there, he never would have drunk the wine. He's never going to drink the wine. You see, because it has to be his own thing. You see, it has to be his own. In other words, it's describing the type of person. And what it's saying is that the type of person who controls himself in order to attain Chochmah, the Kovashis Yitzro, is a certain kind of a personality, and the personality revolves very much around the self. So what's his has a certain very special significance. In today's terms, in today's psychological terms, you'd say he's a narcissistic type of personality. There was a, there's a measure of, a great measure of narcissism there, and that's why his seal, he wants you to only drink from his seal. You see? You don't drink from his seal. Like Chazal say, there's a Chazal that says, person would rather have one kav and it's his than nine kav from somebody else. You want to give him, you want to give him all the goods in the world and he won't take it. A, no, no, it's not mine. But his little thing, that's oh, is it? Because it's his. So it's his bilus is what gives it, is what endows it with value. So that's the that, that's the trait that they're this, in a very, in a very uncanny way, Chazal are putting down, you might say, but at the same time showing you the psychological underpinnings of the one who was a Kovashis Yitzhak. That a lot has to do with that part of his personality. The narcissistic part of his personality is really the driving force behind it. Now, they're not saying it's a bad thing, because you see, you have to understand that we in Torah are in a certain position where we're trying to strive for the ultimate, but in doing that, you have to go through levels where you're not at the ultimate. So therefore, you have to make use of certain things and certain emotions, which are not really the highest. I mean, the highest level is where persons of Emehava. But in order to get there, Lolam Yasa Gadam Matarav Mitzvah Safila Shalolishma, Shemitok Shalolishma Bolishma. So the Lolishma itself is really worthless if it never got any further. See? But Chazal say, but no, you, if you do it that way, you'll be placed in a situation where you'll be drawn into the real thing. You see. But at the same time, while you're in the Lolishma, you see, the Lolishma is tied to certain traits of the, of personality that are not the highest traits. You see? And that's exactly what Chazal are disclosing over here. That the individual who wants Chachma, like the Ashmedai, that's they're putting that into the personality Ashmedai. He wants Chachma, but he's not a Chacham. But what does he do? He's a Kovashis Yitzhak. A Kovashis Yitzhak, but what is the underlying psychology behind that? Unfortunately, it's a certain kind of narcissism. It's his. Now, Chazal, you understand? So therefore, they're telling you the psychology behind the personality in a hidden way. You don't want to say it to everybody, because the average person might be put down. He's not going to do it. Like, okay, so I'm not going to be covetous. That'll be foolish. So therefore, Chazal hit it in a derech mashal for a person who is on a little higher level and can appreciate the idea. Okay, yeah. So that's the concept of the seal. That's the kind. It's his. Now the next thing is the next point. You notice what happens to him. So he gets thirsty. He gets thirsty, and finally he succumbs. What are Chazal saying? Chazal telling you another idea. That basically the Kovashis Yitzro can only go so far. He can only, eventually he's going to collapse. That's what they're telling you. That no matter how strong he is, no matter how powerful is, no matter how powerful his self-control is, at a certain point he's going to fail. So he's going to get thirsty. He'll hold off. He knows it's no good. He caused the psukim. He knows all the dangers. He knows if you do that, you're not after chachma. If you do that, you're going to get grabbed and you'll never get out of it. He knows the pitfalls. But since it's working only with self-control, that's the only thing. Eventually, he's going to fail. He's going to get thirstier and until he can't fight it anymore. And then he's going to give in, and he's a gun. Basically, who says that pshat? I mean, it's a pshat which I mean, the depiction over here is very graphic, but it's a chazal. Rashi quotes it on Vafte Yisrael Shemot Kecha. Rashi quotes it in Kriyashma. Chazal Kut, like Rashi in Voschana, on V'afto Yisrael Hashem Alekecha. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, Asei Devar Me'ava, Ein Adoma Osa Me'ava Losa Me'ira. Why? A person that's working for his master out of fear. Kishihu matriach alav. When it gets very hard, the master's very tough. Menichav olach lo. He leaves him and says goodbye. That's it. This is gone. What is Rashi saying? Same thing, but the Chazal depicted it in a much more accurate way. I mean, Rashi is not, he's just giving a general idea. And the general idea is that eventually you're going to fail. That's what it means. Because self-control can only go so far, has tremendous limitations. Doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. But at the same time, Chazal is showing you its limitations. And eventually, in a certain situation, he's going to break down. The only way the person will not break down is if it's mayavel. If he's not restraining himself, he's doing it for the good itself. That's not the Ashmedai. Okay. Now, what it says is like this. Then, you see, yeah. Then they captured him. Okay, let's leave this part. We're going to come back to where they captured him and he woke up. They chained him and he woke up and then he went wild. And then they said, Shmo de Rabach, Allah, and he calmed down. Okay, let's leave that one. Let's leave that for a moment. But now, I guess, next thing was that he was knocking down the trees, right? And then he came to this old Almana's house, and the Almana came out and begged him, right? So he bent in the opposite direction and he broke a bone. And he said, the Lashon Raka to Shaber Gar, right? So you see, over there, the mushel, it's two things. It shows you that basically, again, there's the restraint. Of course, if she didn't beg him, so then he would have destroyed her house. You see? So he is not a person who intrinsically goes after, he's not a personality that intrinsically follows justice, but at the same time, he is given over to sympathy, the emotion of sympathy. So he's given, but you see his amazing thing, it says he breaks his bone. What does it mean he breaks his bone? It means he's in a tremendous conflict. So he has to draw himself to the opposite side, and in doing so, he breaks a bone. You see? So again, Chazal are depicting the individual of restraint. That a person who is not, it's showing another aspect, another characteristic of the person of restraint who has to harm himself in some way. Because since he has desire for it, so he has to, and then another part of his personality is drawn. And it's a good part. It's something which the world, I mean, the world would consider a person like that a tzad agama. Yahadis does not. Yahadis has him on a certain level. But intrinsically, he has problems. Because what gets him is the emotional fact that the woman is pleading and she's an almana. So he's overcome by the emotions, even though it's a good emotion of rahmanis, you see. But that's not the ultimate. The ultimate is really where the person does justice because he understands what, not because of Rahmanis. As a matter of fact, if a person is overcome by Rahmanis, then he's not, forget about that. The dolo said abarivo. So he can't be a dayan. That's a dayan lamito sheldava. Why? Because he'll see a poor almana, he'll be overcome, so he'll give her the case, so he'll restore justice. That's, yeah, forget about it. You don't even need that. Just a plain puzzle. So therefore, to be prone, that's not really the highest level, you see. It's a mistake. The average person thinks that's the highest level. And you see a person, wow, he had Rahmanis on this. That's a tzadagama. It's not a tzadagama. It looks like it's not a tzadagama. It's a person who's operating under an emotional appeal. Of course, he's better. He's better. That's what Chazal is saying. That he's much better than if he'd act out his rishis. But there's two things wrong with it. First of all, it's not for the right reason. And second of all, he is going to harm himself because he can't, since he's not doing it because of justice itself. So he's drawn by two emotions. There's a conflict, and there's an action, and then there's another reaction, and he forces himself to be contorted in order to avoid what he wants, and then he breaks his bone. He harms himself. There's a loss and there's a harm. That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. So it comes out that the covetous Yitzro, that's why I believe Chazal did it derech mashal, because they didn't want to just say these things openly. First of all, there's a lot of reasons why derech mashal. Because in one mashal, you capture a lot of things. Much. Otherwise, you have to write. But the mashal is one picture which has many, many facets to it. So you can draw them out. The chachma of a mashal is to create a mashal which has many, many things. So it's a very concise form of presentation besides. But also it conceals. And then that's why they didn't want to, because people are egocentric usually. And if you tell them there's something wrong with this way, if it's not the ultimate thing, they'll stop it, which would be foolish. Okay? So that's the second thing that the Chazal are pointing out vis-a-vis the. So first of all, the Kovash Yisrael has to fail on a certain level. Doesn't mean he will always fail, but it means a real tough situation. He's not gonna make it. Really, depends how tough it is. But it's not an ultimate. It's not an ultimate victory. It's only a temporary hold off of the emotions. But ultimately, in a real difficult situation, is my kishurav matrichalov? That's it. Is menichav olachlag? He says goodbye. Secondly, they're saying that the kovish yitzro is harming himself because he's in a conflict, in a state of conflict. That's the second reason. Now let's take a look at the next thing. Interesting. The next thing is like this. The state of conflict will cause him damage. Because you understand, he's going to inflict damage on himself, on some part of him, on his psyche, physically. Something is going to happen because he is trying to do the right thing, but the pressure is there. You have the counter pressure. He's under a state of pressure. So therefore, he's going to snap a part of himself. A part of himself is going to have to damage. You see? Of course, that doesn't mean that he's not better off than if he engaged in his rishis. That would be the worst thing. Then he'd be gone completely. But over here, it's showing you the Kovash Yisitro can only go so far, and he has to, in the process of being Kovash, he's going to have to damage himself on some level. You understand? The ultimate state for man is where he's a sholem, v'yavo Yaakov, sholem yir shechem, sholem begufo, sholem b'mamono, and sholem b'chachmasa. I mean, that's the ultimate state where there's a showing in every area. So if one area, even if it's a physical area, which is lower than the psychological, and he only damages himself in the physical, it's also a chasar. It's also a lack. What does Rambam say? Rambam says a navi cannot be a navi unless he's perfected in every respect, physically, intellectually, emotionally, financially, every respect. He can't have a defect in terms of the in any sphere. I mean, the Rambam and the Maharal, the four perfections, the four levels of perfection. That's the ultimate. So what it's showing you is that the person who is in conflict, even if he's the good person, but he has to be harmed, and on some area he's going to be harmed, which takes away from his shleimus adam. I mean, we have a concept of shleimus adam. What shleimus adam mean? It means you're lacking in any area, it has to affect you in some way. There are areas that are extremely significant, and there are areas that are not as significant. But nevertheless, the ultimate shleimus is a shleimus adam in totality. I mean, that's what we aspire for. Okay. So that's the second thing. Now it says like this. The next thing was that it says that he saw this. Okay, so there it shows you why did he do it. So he explains later why did he do that, because he saw that this person was a tzaddik, and he wanted. He said, I saw that anyone that helps him will be zocher chayal amabah. That left me wrong. That's correct. Okay, so yeah. So what it's showing you is like this. What he's showing you about the Ashmedai is that's another thing in his personality. His personality is he tries to find some way to gain Olam Haba. You see? In other words, he wants to secure for himself eternity. Now, this is not the, I want you to understand, this is not the real idea of Olam Haba. But it's the idea of Olam Haba, like the Rambam explains in the Pirush Mishnayos, of Chiluf Dava. Chiluf. He really doesn't understand. You understand? No, I guess. It's a Chiluf. It's a switch. I'm going to help this guy, and I'll be Zochad Olam Haba. See, it's a part, it's another expression of his narcissistic nature. You see, it's another expression of his narcissistic nature. Okay, but the next case is not that way. What's the next case? The next case is by the Russia. What does he do? Yeah, I don't know how. What is it? It shows you that he has a concern. He has a concern for what? For Tikkun Olam. For Tikkun Olam. He has a concern for Tikkun Olam. But see, the Russia he wants to destroy. So it's showing you a level. It's trying to give you a profile of a level of function, giving you a description of the, up to this point, it's giving you a description of the individual, what his frame of mind is, you know, and how it's expressed in good things. A person should want, I mean, a person should want these things on the first level. Then ultimately, he should reach a higher level where, I mean, he's not interested in really in high Olam Haba, securing it by way of doing something for this tzaddik and therefore secure Olam Haba. He should want Chachmas Hashem, and he's involved in Chachmas Hashem. That's for its own sake. And ultimately, of course, there's Hashoras HaNefesh, but he's not doing it in order to attain it, you see, in order to gain it for himself. But it's giving you the profile. This is the complete picture of the individual, okay? But now, interesting. So interestingly enough, I mean, that's something which makes sense. It's showing his personality vis-a-vis in general, in his things. There's a certain self-centeredness there, and then it shows you what his aspirations are in terms of the good. He has aspirations, and then he has type aspirations in terms of Olam Haba. Up to this point, the profile is good, but now it takes a switch. What does it say next? It says like this. All of a sudden, he walked by and he saw Hasna, and what he saw, they were all happy. He cried. Then he heard this person that wanted to buy shoes, and he told the shoemaker, make me a pair of shoes that last for 7 years. Okay? He started to laugh. Okay? Then the third thing was that he saw this magician, that was doing magic, okay, a sorcery, whatever, and he left it. And the Gemara explains all three things. The first one, what was the first one? The first one was that he saw the chasna and he cried because he knew that what? The chasna is not going to live long, and she's going to have to wait for Yibum for 13 years. So he cried, said that. The next thing was he saw the guy who wanted the shoes for 7 years, and what did he say? He left. He says, this guy's not going to live 7 days, and he's trying to buy shoes for 7 years. He left him. And the third one was? The magician. Okay. Let's take the first one. First one. You see, so the question we raised last time is, why did he treat each one differently? He could have left at the chasna. Because just like he's laughing at this guy because he's not going to want shoes for 7 years, so what are they getting so happy about if this they're going to have a tragedy? You see? Why did he, by the chasna, he cried, and over here he left? The answer is like this, you see? With regard to the chasna, they weren't doing anything wrong. Because insofar as man is a bus of a dumb, so there's a time of simcha, and he has to be mesamech. It's unfortunate if, in reality, the simcha is not going to eventuate in anything substantial. So that's it. You see, because they weren't doing anything foolish. Because that's the right thing. The person is a transient creature, and he has to live in accordance with the time. Now the time is simcha, he has to be mesamech. So they didn't do anything wrong. There was nothing they could have done. That's the right thing. But he knew the truth, so he cried. It's unfortunate. It's tragic. Human tragedy. But the second case was with the... He wanted shoes for 7 years. Wasn't he want shoes for 7 years? Regular person goes buy shoes. I mean, whatever, less. No, because he... The fantasy of his own immortality is so strong that he's operating on that premise that the only problem is the shoes aren't going to last long enough. You see, he forgets that the whole base, his existence, is shakier than the shoes. You see, so there the person is acting in a way where he is not in line with reality. You see, the fantasy of immortality is throwing him into a world of, which doesn't make any sense, which is an insane world. Like the story of the Chofetz Chaim. Famous story of the Chofetz Chaim, you know, where the what? No, where somebody, where Wolfman came to visit him, and he came to his house. Said, "How do you live like this?" So he says, "Where are you staying?" "Staying over there. This is a motel." So he says, "How do you live like that? I mean, you're a rich man." So he says, "That's not my permanent residence. I live in my house. It's beautiful. I live in a palace." He says, "This also is my permanent residence." Good story. True story. But that's basically the what Chazal are trying to point out, that a person operates under that fantasy of immortality and makes judgments, and he even starts complaining to the shoemaker, "Hey, you're not doing this properly, because it's not going to last for 7 years." You see, it's not going to last 7 years. That's what Chazal are pointing out. So what is now we're getting a different picture of the Ashmadai, a different idea is emerging. I mean, suddenly Chazal are saying something different about his personality, namely that what? That the Ashmadai has a certain hold on reality that an ordinary human being doesn't have. In other words, he can see reality. The Ashmadai can see reality. You see, he observes these people in their fantasies. He can see reality. So he can see reality. He can see reality. That's a different aspect of his personality is emerging from the mashal of the Chazal. What's the last one? The last one is where he sees the Kosem. Where the Kosem is, he's a sorcerer. Again, over there, he's showing you the folly of man. Why? Because the sorcerer is really, the sorcerer is the one that's convincing others, is a charlatan. He's convincing others that through sorcery, he can do this and he can do that, he can do all these things. But he's sitting, the Chazal said, why was he laughing? Because he was sitting on gold. He didn't realize that the chair he's sitting on has gold underneath. Why is he doing all the sorcery? He's sitting on gold. You see? What a Chazal mean? Chazal mean over there, they're saying again that the Ashmadai has an insight into reality. He sees that the fantasies of man, and the nonsense of man, drives him into all these crazy, where he tries to waste his energies on all these nonsensical, mystical quests, when the real goal he's sitting on right there himself. If he uses Chachma, he would see right away that that this is all nonsense. That's it. So that's the laughing insofar as the magician is concerned. He's involved in all this. He's sitting on a pot of gold. He doesn't know. Why does he do some sorcery with regard to that? Why does he figure out what he's on top of? So, of course, I mean, the marshal over there is clear. The marshal is that an individual is really capable of attaining true gold, and that is the fichobu vavchalas also, which means the chachmas haTorah. He's sitting right on chachmas haTorah, and he can learn in an instant if he wanted to. Instead, he's engaging in all kinds of fantasies and all kinds of illusions, I mean, in order to attempt to secure a fantasy happiness, when basically he's sitting right on top of a keg of gold. It means that if he would realize how absurd he looks, he would immediately engage in the world of Chachma, which is right there in front of him. That's basically what the marshal is. Okay. So what is this aspect of the Ashmadai? You see, now the marshal over here is, it says that Shlomo HaMelech captured the Ashmadai. Okay? We captured the Ashmadai. Now, I'm going to jump from here. I just want to jump from here because then it says it took him 3 days. For 3 days he wouldn't visit with them, right? First he said he was drunk. You see, what he means like this, what the pasuk means like this, and the pasuk says later it says like this. It says that the Ashmedai said to Shlomo said to him, he kept him around because really he only wanted him at first in order to get the shamir, and then he was gonna. And once he got the shamir, it turned out the Ashmedai didn't have the shamir, but the Ashmedai referred him to the Tarnagol Abor. And they tricked the Tarnagol Abor. We'll go into that mashal exactly what that means. But before I get to that, I'm just going to jump from here to the end to complete this one idea. So then it says that the Shlomo Melech said to the Ashmedai, he said like this. He says that Kisofos Reim Lo. Yeah. So it says Tarche Gabe at the Banyul Beis Mikdash. So he kept the Ashmedai there until he built the Beis Hamikdash. We'll see what that means. Yom Achad have a koil of Hudei. Amalei, he said to him, Ksiv Kesofos Reim Lo. So he was talking to the Ashmedai, walking and talking with him. And he said, it says Kesofos Reim Lo. I'm reading Kesofos Elo Malachai Asheris. Reim Elo Ashedim. My Rabu Seichel. What is your strength? Minon, from then. Amalei, Shkol Shushulta Minoi, Vahavli Iskosach, Vahachvi Loch. Rabu Soi, unchain me and I'll show you. Shakla Rishu Shilteo, Mine, the Yavle, Yiskise, Bale, swallowed him up. Osve Lachad Gape Berki, Lachad Gape Baara, Patke Abo Mea Parsi, Ali Shaitamashom, Mayisum Rodam, Bahola Molo, Shiyamo Tahasa Shamash. What does it mean? It means like this. It means, you see, when it says a shade over here, like the if you take a look at how does this mark come in over here, because it's based on the Mishnah, Misha Och so Kudyakis. Kudyakis. So it means a person, and Rashi says that's a certain shade. What is a shade? The Gemara says, how do you get that shade? The shade captured him. How do you get that shade? So the Gemara says, you drink, if he drinks too much wine. Okay? So a shade means a certain state of mind. Because the Gemara says what to do, drink this and drink that in order to. In order to get rid of it. So shade over here in the Gemara means a certain, he's overcome, they say he's overcome by a shade, means that there are certain psychological phenomena where the person's overcome. Okay? So they call that a shade. The shade means there's a certain power over him, as if there's a certain power over him. Okay? But the Gemara says what to do. If he takes care of his health, this way, that way, it goes away. So it means it's a physical thing, but it eventuates in a psychological state. So that's why it's on this Gemara. What it means like this. What it means, you see, the Ashmedai is in the Ashmedai they're depicting two things. They're depicting a personality who is a Kovesh Yisrael, like I mentioned before, but they're also depicting another personality that sees the truth. You see, that sees the truth, that faces reality, knows reality. What this one part of this mashal is like this. When Shlomo HaMelech, it says it, why is it fitting over here? It says Shlomo HaMelech, he goes all those psukim, he built his empire, his beautiful gardens and the houses and everything. It says he had everything. Chol HaShashoah and Elo Tzaltimam. Mamanates leading the Kol Simcha. Everything you could think of he had. Because he was experimenting, as we mentioned, to understand the human psyche and what happens to a person when he partakes of these type of things and how it affects him. So what this Chazal is saying is that he didn't want to study himself only in the normal realm. He wasn't happy. He studied himself in the normal realm. He says that everything was nothing. Because all these satisfactions that he thought were in fantasy and in reality, when he experienced it, he saw was worthless. It did not say it was unsatisfying. But Chazal was saying that wasn't enough for him. What he really wanted to do was to see if a person can live and at the same time be a total realist, have total reality. In other words, be in a state of total reality. Where he's not overcome, he doesn't go to the shoemaker and ask him for 7 years because he knows exactly how tenuous his existence is. You see, so Chazal say that's the capturing of the Ashmedai. That's why it's interesting when the Ashmedai, when he first caught the Ashmedai, said like this. and says, the Hashmadai says, Amalei Michde, ki mayisahu gavra lesle bode naomal adal gamide. Right? So he took a stick and he made an impression, he drew a little impression in the ground. So he said to him, when this guy dies, meaning Shlomo Melech, says this is all he has. Hashta kavashte l'chuli alma below Savas. Now you captured the entire world, you're not happy. Add the captious namely BD, you want to capture me also? So Shlomo Melech answered, said, no, what was the question? The question was like this. Now there's a talk of the sorcery, because in reality, a person's off of it. But you want to capture the entire world, so now you're operating under the fantasy and the illusion of immortality. And now you want to capture me? In other words, now you want to, it's a type of disaster, it's impossible. Because if you capture me, you mean to say, if you capture that state of mind that I have of reality, everything's gone. So he said to him, I don't want to do that. First said, I just want to know where the Shamir is. That's another part of this mushroom. But later it says he really decided to unleash him. This, it means to say that at first he didn't want to do it because it was dangerous. He knew it was dangerous. But in the end, he wanted to see what it's like. He wanted to see what it's like to live life with this total reality. And then can a person have any kind of satisfaction in life. So that's what Chazal say that what happened. It says, at that moment, it says, Ahi shaita, he says he was totally consumed. Ahi shaita, Mashalom, my Yisrael, Odom, Bechol, Amol, Shiyamol, Tachas HaShemesh. You see? So the Gemara says, the Gemara goes on with the Mashal. So Vizeh, Yachal, Kinikol, Amol. My Vizeh, so once his Makro, once he had nothing left. So that's why the Pasuk says, Ani Kohelas, a strange Pasuk. What Chazal are explaining is something a matter of pshat. Because it says, Ani Koheles HaYisi Melech Al Yisrael Bishlam. What do you mean, Ani Koheles HaYisi Melech? He's alive still. Ani Koheles HaMelech Yerushalayim. The passage doesn't make any sense. So what Chazal was saying is, no, that's intentional. He's saying HaYisi because the moment he captured the Ashmedai, he wanted in the last realm of his experiment, he wanted to see what it is like to be able to live in total reality with the knowledge of total reality. And what happened was he was swallowed up and he was thrown away and he lost his whole malucha. He lost everything. What does it mean he lost his whole malucha? So the Gemara says that he came to Bina Yob, he was gone. So it says, so he went to the Sanhedrin. He went to the Sanhedrin. So the Sanhedrin said, so the Sanhedrin, every part of this mashal is another idea. And I can't explain every single point. I'm just trying to get a general overview. So it says he came to the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin recognized that he's not an ordinary shota because he keeps on saying the same thing, which means to say what they're trying to show over here is that an ordinary shota is a person who is psychologically dysfunctional, not functioning properly psychologically. Now, a person who would see reality, ultimate reality, would also not function psychologically because he'd be destroyed, but not in the same way. You see, it's not, in other words, a person who is destroyed because of reality is destroyed psychologically, but he has a different kind of a condition than a person that just can't function psychologically. So it means on the surface, he looked like a meshuggah. But then they say, one second, he's not the same because he keeps on saying the same thing. And a meshuggah is a meshuggah in every area. And over here, he's focusing in on this thing. Maybe there's something to him. What the Chazal are pointing out is that it's a different kind of dysfunction, not your ordinary psychological problem. So then it says they went to Bnei Yoav ben Yoyada, and they said, did the king come? Because Bnei Yoav ben Yoyada was right-hand man. He said, no. Shochalu, so then where did they go? So then they checked out Amar Lehu Lo. Shochalu Lehu Lemalcha V'sa. So they asked the queens. So they said, does he come or not? So they said, the Ash, you can tell whether it's the Ashmedai or whether it's him. How can you tell? Because his feet. The feet of the Ashmedai is like a chicken. But they, so they said, what do you check his feet when he comes to you? So they said, no, he was wearing stockings. So what if I was all saying the following? That once he was under the sway, the complete sway of reality, so with Bnei Yoav ben Yoyada, they couldn't function. There was no more malchus. It was impossible. But with regard to, because that was a direct hit. In other words, the malchus itself he could not do anymore. But with regard to his wives, he was able to function, but only by putting himself, covering up his underlying state. You see, in other words, sometimes a person can't function, but a person can be in a depression, for instance, but they could suppress that depression and function. You see. So what Chazal says is that with regard to his wives over there, the reality didn't prevent them totally, but he had to subdue his emotional state in order to function. That's what it means. The stockings cover the feet. You see. But with regard to the malchus itself, in the other day, he didn't show up over there. He didn't show up. So Chazal, and that's the machlekes really. Did he ever get back? It means that according to one mandamar, once he captured the Ashmedai, so to speak, and attained this state of mind of total psychological reality, he never regained it. He never regained the machlekes. He could not get out of it. The others say no. It was a temporary state, and he only did it because he wanted to experience what a human being would be like in such a state and how he would function. But eventually he knew that he has to pull himself out of that state and went back to the regular psychological function. That's the machlekes. Machlekes is, did he ever get out of it? But that's really the idea of the capturing of the Ashmedai.
What do you mean by getting
out of it? No, it's return to a normal psychological state of mind. I don't want to use the word depression because it's not, that would be an ordinary, depression would be is a psychological state. That's what Chazal said when he came to Sanhedrin. At first they thought he was like a depressed individual, crazy, psychological problems. But then they saw, no, he's a little different because he's not, in every area, it's not affecting him. He just keeps on zeroing in on this one thing. Aniko Helas, Isi Melech B'Yerushalayim, keeps on saying this, which means to say he's saying something which is different than just a crazy person. They saw him zeroing in on an idea that there's something missing over here in terms of my malchus. I'm a part of my malchus is gone, and that's a rational thing. You see, it's not just saying a crazy thing. So the only question is like this: that in what Chazal is saying, that is in so far as his experiment, and that's what we learned to Ellis. We said that why did he have to make recourse to actually engaging in these taivas, because he wasn't simply trying to determine whether the life of taiva is better than the life of Torah. That he knew. But what he wanted to do was to discover what it's like and how the Yetzer Hara works and what it actually is and how the fantasy affects the individual. He wanted to understand it. So according to the Chazal of the Ashmedai, there was one other area that he wanted to gain, and that was the area of existence in a state of total psychological reality. And that's why Chazal said on that, that's when the Ashmedai, when he did that, the Ashmedai destroyed him. And so that's when he says, "My Yisrael Adam b'chala molo sheyamo tachas hashamash." Then he really saw the what fantasy is, but not until that point. You see, not until that point. I want to do because he knows what the feeling's like. That would not be right. To know what the feeling's like is just that would be like just type. Now he wanted to understand it, and he wanted to study it. He was an individual. He was the only one that could do that. That could actually engage in a psychological phenomenon and could study it and not lose his intelligence and study it at the same time. You see, that's basically, if you look at Kehelas, you see that's what he's saying. So Afkach Masi Andoli. He never. He limshach b'yayin es b'sari v'libi v'ochez b'chachma. So he never lost. He was able to do that. An ordinary person can't do that. An ordinary person would be nonsense. He would just get lost in the feelings and the emotions, and he'd gain nothing and just destroy himself. But Shlomo HaMelech, what? No, he didn't fail. What did he fail? You consider that a failure? The gain reality and lose your kingdom? I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe for you it's a failure. I don't know. Maybe it's not a failure. Maybe on the contrary. maybe that's better. He's better.
But they seem to be one
that's correct. That's correct. That's correct. I'm just telling you what Chazal was saying. He did that much. What he did, what the results were, how it affected him. But the machlokes is, did he ever reestablish himself? But that's what it means when it says that his melucha was God. It doesn't mean you have to understand, if you take a look at the way people distort it, they look at the Ashmedai, look at the story of the Ashmedai, he's not what people think. He's on the contrary. But what they're doing, Derech Moshel, is they're showing you the extent of his experiment. It wasn't enough just to indulge in studying the psychological reality. We wanted to see if you can exist at the same time in the state of absolute reality insofar as the psyche is concerned. And that was and that completely rendered him, insofar as his melucha is concerned, unable to function. Insofar as other aspects of life are concerned, he had to overcome the state in order to proceed. You see, when it mentions also before that the Ashmedai studies in the Yeshiva Shomailo and also in the Yeshiva Shomata, see, that's exactly what it means. It's showing you a person, it's a personality it's showing you, whereas in Yeshiva Shomailo means he is after ideas, but at the same time, he is in the world of particulars. You see, he's in both worlds. Is in both worlds. That's another idea. I'm going to mention that. In other words, the person that is a Kovashis Yitzro is really in two different worlds. He's in the Yeshiva Shomailo and he's in the Yeshiva Shomata. That's another description of that individual. Because the world of particulars is very important to him. And the world of ideas in a way. So he's spanning both. So the as opposed to an Oved Me'avah, like the Rambam says, Moshe Rabbeinu is a Seichel Nifrad. It means he's completely in the world of his. All his, he only descends to the world of particulars insofar as it's necessary in his role of Adam. But he has no real primary interest in the world of particulars. But the Ashmedai depicts as having an interest in both worlds. Because it's describing the individual. It's another aspect of the profile. I'm sorry, I omitted that before. Okay, yes. Yeah, when by Noshim it represents other functions that have to do with the instinctual, but are not directly related to the Malucha, to the empire, to that thing. That's what it means. You have to understand what Shlomo Melech is doing. He is not, there's not a question of what is the proper, Kahelis is not a sefer that deals with what is the proper Derech HaChaim. That's Chamish HaMshatara tells you that. Kahelis is a study of the underlying psychological mechanisms of a human being. It's a different kind of a study. It's a different kind of a thing. It's a separate area. Separate area. Because it's based on the premise that in Yahadus, the more knowledge a person has of every area, the more perfected it can be. So if you're lacking knowledge insofar as the psyche is concerned, it has to affect you. It was a delving into the area of the psyche. In order to gain knowledge. That's what Kahelis was. Yeah, no, you're right. That's a good point. The point is that even though he saw it was broken, but still what it's trying to show you is that a person is not necessarily consistent in his traits that are not real. In other words, in his mishigas, and his unreality is not necessarily consistent. It had the illusion of his own seal. That was enough. Didn't have to really, he knew that there's something went wrong. But still had the appearance and the illusion that it was his own. And that's why he was able to do it. But if it weren't his own, then he couldn't function. Then he wouldn't do it. He would die. Even though he knows it was tampered with. But it still has the illusion of his own. That he can't give up. If he gives up that illusion, then his life is, then he can't continue to exist. Then he would die at first. He would not continue. What is showing you by Shido Vashidos is a machlokas. Shido Vashidos is a machlokas. Because what is Shido Vashidos? So some say that it's a continuation, a further extension of what the psukim are talking about. All the baths and all the different levels. And Shido Vashidos is a further extension, the Merkavos. But another pshat, the Shido Vashidos, is that it's referring to the experiment itself, where he captured a different state of mind in studying what these experiences are like. That's the machlokes. The shida v'shidos, how does the pasuk go? Sanuge b'nei ha'adam, shida v'shidos. So the question is, the sanuge b'nei ha'adam stop? So one pshat is that shida v'shidos is an extension. Another pshat is the sanuge b'nei ha'adam. That's it. What more can you add? There's nothing more to add to the picture. In terms of the ingredients, it's all complete. Shida v'shidos is in terms of himself. It's in terms of his internal state. Now he tried to experience these things under a different kind of a state, and that's the state of the Ashmadai. Okay. Yeah, hey. I mean, that's a good question. There's a different kind of a kovish. There's a different kind of a kovish yisro. The Ram mentions kovish yisro bechachmaso. That means where his knowledge, when the instinctual comes to the fore, his knowledge does away with the instinctual force. That's a different kind. That's what the Ram talks about in Novi like that. Like the kovish yisro bedaito. That's a different type of krisa yitzro. That means that his intellect, his chachma, analyzes and he sees it, and that's why it's simply, the yetzer is simply dispersed, gone, vanishes. See? That's a different kovish yisro. That's not the same kovish yisro. That's not the kovish yisro of the Ashmadai. That one, there's no limit to it. So this one is a strain, so you're going to have to break at some point. That's what I'm saying. Okay, but we still didn't get the putting together of the picture. I'm just... took this one. I wanted to go and at least get to one line of thought. Yeah. Oh, basically, I'm just going to add some points, most of which we did on Shabbos, last Shabbos. It wasn't taped. And, maybe one or two more small points, but the going back, one of the things we didn't mention, I think it wasn't taped last time we did it Shabbos, was the idea that this the basic idea we said that this Ashmadai is really, you know, there's two aspects to this. One is the Ashmadai himself, okay, and that's really a mushroom. But all this fits into a greater marshal with the Shamir. Okay. But let's take the smaller one first. In other words, let's for the key. Cannot, I think it's a big mistake to try to understand the Shamir part. Shamir part, it has to be left for later. But let's take the first marshal, what the Ashmadai stands for. And we mentioned the Ashmadai is the Kovesh Yisro. It is the perfect marshal of the Kovesh Yisro. That's why, by the way, Tura Plant. He lives in that mountain. What does that indicate? He lives in a mountain. That indicates a certain degree of haughtiness. Because when I say haughtiness, I mean, you have to understand. The haughtiness and self-esteem are from the same source. And one is a natural psychological phenomenon. The other one is an arrogance. But arrogance comes from that same source. So don't, you know, if I say what I mean is that which really comes from the narcissistic part of man. Okay. I mean the source. That's right. But that's Tura Plan means his sense of self-worth. He lives on a mountain. The mountain is indicative of, you know, heights. It's a certain. You see, Chazal say that the Torah wasn't given on the highest mountain because Anivas. That's what Chazal means. They say, see, that mountain represents their idea. Now it's an interesting thing, but they're showing you also. They're showing you also that this Ashmadai has neurotic underpinnings. See, there are neurotic trends which they're trying to show you here, which is basically the idea that, you see, he only eats from his own, it has to be his own seal, right? Which is a narcissistic type of thing. Mine is, that's what Chazal say, Nichol el adam b'kav shalom, itish ha-kav shal chavero. Okay, that's like a narcissistic thing. He has that. And also it shows you that he doesn't even need the reality of that. Because once he sees the wine went in there, it's not his, so he knows right away it's not. But as long as he can, in fantasy, assume that it's his, then he will partake of it. Okay? So, somehow or other, the wine is part of his seal, it's his. See, even though in reality it's not, which shows you, and so far, that's an important principle in psychology, namely, that when the person has these neurotic trends, they have to satisfy the person in reality, but not in ultimate reality. There just has to be enough reality for him to convince his mind that this is the way it is. But it doesn't really stand the test of true reality. And the neurotic is satisfied with the neurotic needs an element that he can consider reality. So even though it's an illusion, but it has to be fit into some framework of it. That's why he's happy with the seal, even though obviously if you thought about it, it's not his. Also, it shows you that he has tendencies of paranoia. He's paranoid because he's suspicious that people are going to poison him. So paranoia is really a disorder that's based on the narcissistic. It's pretty amazing the depth of the psychology in this mushroom. So they're showing you a picture of the neurotic underpinnings, the narcissistic disorder with the paranoia. And they're showing you basically that this is the person that is the Kovei Shesitzro, that he's interested in Chachma, he wants Chachma, and it shows you also that he eventually fails because, like Rashi says on the Vahafte Yisrael Hashem Lekecha, that there's just so much the person can do, but eventually he just gives in, eventually he collapses. But it shows you also another thing. You look carefully at the mush, you'll see another thing. That when it comes to that aspect, he caves in. You see. But if he when it comes to the narcissistic, he would die. Because if he couldn't fool himself into thinking that it's his own seal, then he would never drink of it. Which shows you that a person will destroy his life for a narcissistic reason. For an emotional reason, but not for a realistic reason. The realistic reason is to gain the chachma. That he says, okay, gave in and drank the wine. He knows it's not good for him in terms of the soul. He gave in, but the neuroses is not getting out. If it's not his seal, he'll die first. An amazing thing. I mean, it's pretty much straight out in the muscle. Now it shows you another thing. What happens is, the marshal goes on further because the marshal says, you see, once he fails, so then he goes wild. When he wakes up and he finds a change, he goes wild. And then he's calmed down when they tell him that the name of your master is on you. And you see, the name of the master is on two things. It's on the chains and it's on the ring. Okay? It's an interesting thing. Why does he calm? What happened over here? It means when the person who is attempting, he's Oved Meira, the Oved Meira. When he fails and he wakes up, he's completely distraught. See, because there's no purpose for his existence anymore. You see, he caves in, he drinks the wine, but then when he wakes up and he realizes what happened, he feels like he's totally worthless. The energy is wild. He can't continue. But what makes him continue? When they say the chain and this and the ring have the name of your master. What does that mean, really? It is a perfect description. It's a perfect description of people, certain individuals that go through a certain stage. The stage is as follows. The stage is a person when they're young, they try to gain perfection. We go to yeshiva and they try to gain perfection. But if the person is not successful, so what happens is that's the drinking of the wine. They fail. So then they feel very unhappy about themselves, we say. But then there's one way out. What is the way out? We get attached to a cause, a holy cause. We say. That's the chain and the ring. See, the chain is really represents the control of the emotions. So they control the emotions because they're on a holy cause. The ring is the pride. Ring is pride. He has the pride. The emotion goes into the pride that he is doing something, which is a holy, has a holy purpose. So it's an interesting thing. I remember years ago, this was in the 70s when there was an explosion of yeshivas. And at that time, you guys are here would remember, but at that time we were thinking of transplanting the yeshiva to Phoenix, Arizona. So there was a fellow there from Torah Masorah that was in charge of all the yeshivas, just cropping up all over. And he said to me at the time, he says, you know who builds yeshivas? Not the guys who are the big lamtonim in the yeshivas. He says, the kurtenspillers. He says, the guys in the yeshiva who are the biggest batlanim, he says, they're the ones that are building all the yeshivas. You see? It's an interesting thing. It's true. What does it mean? But I mean, that's exactly the marshal. The marshal is that they fail insofar as there's a struggle for perfection. They fail and they can't do it. But now at one point they're ready to go wild because there's no outlet for the emotions. But then they find their sanity and their objective and their purpose in doing something holy. I don't have to work on myself anymore. That failed, but I'm involved in a holy cause now. Right. So the building that's exactly what that fellow is. The building of the yeshivas is really from the guys that failed in terms of the perfection. And the biggest one done didn't go out and build yeshivas. The biggest one done sat and learned, still learning. but the ones that went out, the ones that went out were to satisfy this thing. Now, I'm not saying that everyone that builds a yeshiva is that. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean that. That's for sure. I don't mean that. But I'm just saying that there is such a phenomenon of a person who has given up on perfection and is not in learning, and is not a lamdan, and is not working on themselves anymore, but they can continue because they can assuage themselves with the thought that they're building Torah. Okay? And I'm not even saying it's a bad thing. I mean, you see, that's a... But the description is a perfect description of that kind of a transition, from the failure of the perfection of the self because the person got weary, drank the wine, and when he woke up, he thought it's all over. But then he found a new way. The new way is that build yeshivas, that's it. I'm helping others. Again, I'm not saying it's wrong. These are not things that are wrong. They are things that are true, and they're various expressions. You see, they're different vicissitudes of the same thing. You understand what I'm saying? That'll be the same thing. You're right. That's the same thing as a guy that went to yeshiva, and somehow or other he felt that he failed, but then he said, "Okay, I'm going into business, and I'm supporting yeshivas." That's exactly the same thing. So what restrains him now is Shema de Rabbah. You see? It's the truism. And Chazal don't pull any punches. I mean, that's what it is. It's giving you a description. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. As Chazal are explaining the psychology of a certain type of life. And that's what it is. They're giving you a description of a pattern of behavior, okay, which is based upon the psyche of a human being, the underlying psychological forces of a human being. So the chain and the ring are two different aspects of that personality. The chain is restraint, and why does he restrain himself? Why doesn't he go wild into the tithers? What's the answer? Because he's doing it for a higher purpose. The ring is the pride. Another outlet for the energy is the pride that he takes in doing that. That's another outlet. So basically, You have the emotions that want to break loose into the tithes that are controlled by the chain because of the higher purpose. And then you have the satisfaction of the ring insofar as the higher purpose is concerned. See, that's really what Chazal depicted. The perfect depiction. Yeah, it's great. You have to have both. You have to have the ring. Without the ring, he's not going to do it. You need both. That's why you need both. Okay? The reason why you need the chain and the ring is because that's a combination. You can't do without either. Can't have all the energy being soaked up into the self-gratification, and you can't have all the energy just being restrained. Not going to work that way. It splits up. It's a combination. Okay. Another thing I would say is, the next part of the mushal, by the way, where he goes, what is that thing? He goes on the road, and he rubs his back on the tree, knocks the trees down. What is it? Knocks the house down too? Right. And then he comes to the Alma. Then he comes to the Almana's house, and she comes out and she begs him. And then we mentioned that he twists himself and he breaks a bone, which means that it causes himself harm. Now you look into a little deeper. What is that exactly a mushal of? What is that a mushal of? What is it a mushal of? I mean, we explained that he called that the self-control. We explained the last time in a basic way, but you can be more detailed about it. What is the mushal? What is the mushal? The mushal is talking about the aggressive emotion. That's what it's talking about. See, it's talking about the aggressive emotion. He knocks down the tree. That's a mushal of aggression. Why did he destroy a tree? Then he knocks down a house. You see, it shows there's aggression in general against Tikkun Olam, and then there's aggression also against people. But then when the poor Almana comes out and begs him, that converts the aggression into sympathy. See? And he restrains the aggression. And then the aggression turns on him and breaks a bone. An amazing chazal. He rubbed on it with the reason why that. I mean, like I said, I'm not even going to say that I'm attempting to explain every aspect of the mushal. Every aspect is another little thing, and we're missing a lot. But I'm just trying to get the basic one. But that is true. Why does it say he rubs his back on the tree? Because it shows you that he wouldn't do aggression unless he can cover it up by doing it in a way that he's just helping himself. Basically, but the tree fell down. It's not direct aggression. It's actually what Chazal is saying is the aggression is converted into two things. One is sympathy, which is into its opposite, and the other part is into aggression against the self. It's going to be split up. Can't convert the full amount into sympathy. Another part of it is going to be still aggressive, but now it's going to turn towards the self and break his bone. That's basically the same. Yeah, I mean, the mushal is just showing you one way. Of course, in real life, it means millions of ways. A person can lose his money. A person can be careless and lose his health. It could be millions. The aggression against self is expressed in many, many ways. Many, many ways. That's what, by the way, that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan said, there were 300 demons, 300 shadim in the town. He says, but the source of them all, I don't know. Shida itself, What did Rabbi Yochanan say? There are hundreds of expressions of the underlying unconscious source of man, but the ultimate one, I don't understand. I don't grasp that one. That was Shlomo HaMelech grasped it. That's what Shlomo HaMelech was under grasped it. Fully. He was the one that did that. Okay? Yeah. I mean, you'll find, if you read certain cases, like you'll see in people in the world, you'll see this expression. Like, for instance, you take Nixon. Okay? So everybody knows the story of Nixon and the tapes. Everybody asks, why didn't he burn the tapes? Why did he do it? Broke the bone. It means that he was an aggressive guy, but part of the aggression went against himself. And that's why you'll see that there were cases like certain spies, a case in Israel, unfortunate cases where guys were big spies and they did a little thing that they got caught. And they said, it was a stupid little thing. See, that's the same thing. That's the turning against the self. A person does a lot of harm to himself that way. Not even realizing. But that's an element of man. Yeah. Man. Ashmedai, we don't care about. He's very helpful. The whole thing is a muscle for man. You see, Misha Ochzo Kredikis. Misha Kredikis. Misha Ochzo. It means he was overpowered by a certain state. That is exactly what he's talking about. That's the Ashmedai. There's one point I wanted to mention. That this is something mentioned Shabbos, I mentioned again. And that is that, you see, what is the whole Ashmedai? The Ashmedai, you're talking about the Kovish of Yisrael, which as I said, is a good thing. It's a very good thing. That's why Chazal wrote this Derech Moshel, because the average person, if you'd say this to him, would just give up. Say, oh, no sense doing anything. No sense building yeshivas. No sense building stucco. No, because you can't do this. But the fact is, that's what's happening to these people. And Chazal understood it, and they wanted Chacham to avail themselves of knowledge. But I want you to understand something. See, when it says that there's a self-destructive element in man, you know, which unfortunately, in doing good, he's going to have to harm himself. Yeah. But the point over here is also that there is no such thing as a normal man. The normal man is Moshe Rabbeinu. That's normal. See, the normal man is not average. Average and normal are two different things in man. In the animal kingdom, the average is the normal. But in man, it's not true. The average is the abnormal. The normal is where the person is working as perfectly as possible. All the elements are lined up. All the energies are flowing as smoothly, harmoniously as possible. Okay? That's only Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the normal person. You see, the average man is the description that Gemara is giving over here. Okay? But Shlomo HaMelech, you see, was not studying Moshe Rabbeinu. That was not the study of Koheles. We were studying the underlying forces of the psyche. That's what he was studying. It's a different study. I'm not as sure about this part, but I would say that the reason why it says that he captured the male and the female, I believe, is because there are two components in man. There's the passive and there's the active. In every human being, there's the passive and there's the active. That's a Chazal phrase, say, for instance, with regard to Chachom, Talmid Chachom, that they are like Noshim, Ba'osim Gvura Ka'anoshim. Why? Why are they like women? Because passive always means the acceptance of reality. Passive, a person doesn't want to be passive. A man, especially, wants to be in control, active. But passive is when you recognize reality, you're thrown into a passive state. Because you see, Vanochi Yofa Vefa, that's passive. I'm nothing. Vanachna Mor, it's the height of passivity. So really, passivity in man has two trends on the psychological plane. That's the male and the female. But the real ultimate perfection is actually in the passive. It's an interesting thing. Very hard for a person to get that. As it goes against everything, they don't want to lose control. Control is the active. Passive is that's v'anachnemar. That's it. We're nothing. It's an interesting thing, but in the height of perfection, of philosophical perfection, it's the passive that really comes into play. Passive comes in. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say in his last day? Then may of the Esrim Shana Hayom lo uchalo lotzeis v'lava. So what does Chazal say? The Mochamta Shel Torah. Recognizes unable anymore to engage in arguing and debating Torah. That's totally given over to reality. Feminist movement today is in direct opposition to what the soul is perfection. Because on the contrary, if they realize that on the contrary, the passive state is a Chazal state. That they're kenoshim, but also in gvura kenoshim. A real gvura is in the passive state of recognition of reality. Another point I want to mention is like this. And I don't know exactly how it fits into the muscle, to the detail of the muscle, but it says they captured the two of them, and they put pressure on them, and then they were led to the Ashmedai. Okay, now the transition I don't fully understand, but this much I would say. Now, what does it mean? They captured the emotions, these two aspects of the passive and the active, and they put pressure on them. See, what it means is like this. What it means is, in order to gain knowledge of the psyche, what Chazal is saying is, in order to gain knowledge, you can't gain knowledge by acting out your emotions. Then you're just going to look like a fool. But putting pressure, not acting them out, is where you will gain insight. So the road that led to the knowledge of the Ashmedai was really what was actually set forth by the fact that he did not cater to the little emotions, put pressure, led him back to the main headings of the instinctual life. In other words, the way he gained the knowledge was not by, it's exactly the opposite of what people think when they read Kehelas. Because when they read Kehelas, it says he built all these things and he had everything. So the implication from the Pshuto Shel Mikra is that he indulged in all these titles. And that's not sensible. That was Shlomo. Anyone that did that would never produce Chachma, just produce nonsense. So what does it mean by Shlomo Melech? What does it mean? It means, on the contrary, Chazal is saying, that he had all those things in front of him, but they were used as a means of studying the emotions and how the emotions relate to these things, not satisfying them. So that's what Chazal really said. That's the troop shot in the pasuk. Not that he gave into all these tithes. That's crazy. You're giving the millions of people giving the tithes. Do you see them producing any Sefer Chachma? No. It's the opposite. You'll never produce any Chachma. Im shatati believi limshach bayayin as besari. Tati means I looked, I searched. Losur as arts. Tati believi doesn't mean two is Aramaic. Tati believi limshach bayayin as besari. Believi noeg bachachma velechos besechos. You see, it means that it was done with chachma. He was investigating how the emotions work, but the chachma was never abandoned. It wasn't an indulgence. It was a studying, and on the contrary, there was a frustration of the emotions. Frustration was the thing that implies frustration of the emotions when you didn't satisfy the active and the passive. Understanding and experiencing the simcha under the guidance and constant surveillance of the mind. Different kind of a thing. Yes. There's a desire for, just like there's a desire to be active, there's a desire to be passive. There's an oni, for instance. A person who is an oni and isn't an oni because of circumstance, but if you trace it back many times, you'll find the person's an oni due to their own doing. What are they satisfying? What are they satisfying? Passive. The passive. That's the passive. That's the passive. In other words, I'm a passive recipient of other people's favors. I mean, that's the satisfaction of the passive. Passive is a powerful force. All these forces are individual forces, we have to understand. It's like the human mind is very complex. I mean, when you see Chazal pointing out that all these things are having their own desire. And they're expressed in the easiest way to point them out is to show different situations, different people when you see the extreme. But it doesn't mean that they don't all exist in everybody at the same time. I mean, that's true. But I mean, Shlomo HaMelech went into these areas very deeply. Chazal is not going to tell us how he did it in specific. They're just giving you direction as to what the elements are and the fact that he investigated them. Okay? I mean, you can't, if you say give into the emotions and analyze them later, that's the ayin. That's the ayin. That means the person will say, you know what? I think I'll go for a few days. Now, you know who has that shita, by the way? The Amish have that shita. Like they take a year off. A year of indulgence in all kol mine taiva. Okay? Yeah. That does not produce chacham. Then I'll analyze it later. Now, that's That's yayin znusvi yayin yikachlev. That's the opposite of that. That's why it calls the pasuk znusvi yayin yikachlev. I mean that's exactly what it is. You don't, you know. Actually, the interesting thing is most of them go back. You know, but that's because the truth matters because it means that they're satisfying their instincts better, other instincts better. They don't have, by the way, the director Chaim right in the corner. So it's just a question of one type against another type. but with them, the emotion of security is more powerful. And also they're raised a certain way with a lot of guilt. So, you know, what they're doing for them is very good because they raise the kid with a lot of guilt and everything. And then they say, go have a good time. Try it. Can't do it. Comes right back. No problem. Does an aver, he is further and further away from any kind of knowledge because his whole mind is overpowered by crazy ideas and a crazy value system. So he's further away. That's far enough to do that. The Rambam says the Bala Tshuva, Magrish Bala Tshuva, Omdin, why? Because they were Tom Chait and they were Porish. But that's not a method of analysis. The mushal over here. Okay. But before I get to that one, the one thing I want to say is that what is the putting together in the Ashmedai two personalities, we notice. One is all these things that we've mentioned, which is one of all the various emotions, narcissistic, the aggressive, and the whole gamut of how it works, and with the neurotic underpinnings and all these things. That's all one group. But the other point is the fact that he could see through the fantasy of immortality. See, and that was that. But you'll notice whenever it says he sees through, it's always in somebody else. You know, in other words, it says he sees the guy going to the shoemaker, right? So he says the guy doesn't have 7 days, and he's planning on having shoes for 7 years. So it means to say that he sees through the fantasy of immortality, which is another aspect of the human personality. But it gives it a muscle in somebody else, because in the self, you see, you see in the end of Kehelas also where he gives the description of a person before he dies. He gives a vivid description of it. It makes like a town, builds it like a town, and piece by piece it starts disintegrating. You know what I mean? It's referring to the human body, but it's derech mashal. Over here, what it's doing over here is saying that to see ultimate reality, to break down the fantasy of immortality, is a very difficult thing. With regard to the self, totally, it's impossible. But you can do it via somebody else. In other words, the person sees a model in the external world and sees it happen to this person. If he takes that model seriously, he'll be able to break down to some degree the fantasy of his own immortality, you see. But that's what it's trying to show you is that was the combination that Shlomo HaMelech was using. He was trying to understand the powerful forces of the mind and how they would function in the presence of the breakdown of the fantasy of immortality, which is the reality principle. You see, reality principle, that was what he was doing. He was studying can the mind function in the face of the reality principle? And that's why he says that ultimately what it led to was the downfall of, we'll get to that later, basically the inability to relate to the idea of malchus. Okay. Yeah, on the contrary, really, yeah, actually now I'm thinking about it, I have to make a little change up here. Make a little change. In other words, what he's saying is like this. What he's depicting really, when you look at it, it is, at first I thought it was putting two pictures together. But now I see it's not. It's really one picture. The Ashmedai, you see, with regard to himself, maintains a healthy fantasy of immortality. Because, you see, he helps the tzaddik on the road in order to gain olam haba. So, on the contrary. But it means with regard to others, he could see that immortality is, he could see, he could laugh. It's a joke with regard to, and that's the way people are. You see, that is really an accurate description. It is an accurate profile of the human psychological personality. Okay? Again, I mean, I want you to understand, this is the human psychological personality. It doesn't mean the individual like Moshe Rabbeinu, who has used all his energies, have been transformed and redirected to Chachmas Hashem. But insofar as a person is a psychological human being, that's what he's studying, it is a cohesive picture. It's a cohesive picture because it's showing you that insofar as himself, he maintains the fantasy of immortality, but insofar as others are concerned, he sees thoughts, which is correct, which is an accurate description. Now let me finish off the mashal. I'm going to jump again over the case with the Tana Golds because that's a separate case. But in the end, what happens is like this. It says he kept the Ashmedai around because he got the Shamir through the Tanagol. But he kept the Ashmedai around, like his buddy, so to speak, until the Binyan Beis HaMikdash was complete. Okay, and then he had discussions with him. What does that mean? It means to say, this guy means that he kept on this course of understanding, proceeding to track down, to gain further, penetrate further into the area of the underlying mechanisms of the human mind, the forces of the human mind. He kept on proceeding. Now, at one point, it says, what did he do? At one point, he says, he quoted a pasuk. The pasuk says, Kisoafos re'ein lo. Yeah. So Chazal say that what is Kisoafos re'ein? V'amrin Kisoafos elu malachei ashores. Re'ein elu hashedim. What does it mean? What it means is with regard to a human being, there are two forces in a human being's life. One are the malachei ashores. That's all the external forces. All those things that do God's work in the external world. The malachei ashores. Osa malach avruchos. Okay. But then there is the internal forces in man, the psychological part of man, the part of man that's unknown to him. Okay, those are the shadim. Kisoafos re'ein lo. That they're both under the direction of God because they both function with certain laws and principles, the internal world and the external world. That's really what the pasuk is saying. So then it says Shlomo HaMelech asked him and said that my Rabu Saichu mean none. He says, what is your greatness from them? I don't know exactly what it means, but anyways, Amalei, he says, Shkol Shushulto Minoi Vahavli Iskasach Vahachvelach. Okay, what does it mean? That's where it means that he broke through the barriers. Because the thing that keeps it in control, the thing that keeps these psychological forces in control are the fact that he's attached to these goals, see, these higher type goals, okay, and the chain which keeps down the force of the power of the emotion. But what it means over here is that he penetrated the defenses. He broke through the defenses. And what happened? It says he was thrown 400 miles. What does it mean? It means to say that a person does not know, has no knowledge. Another Gemara Sukkah says the same thing. A person has no knowledge of the internal forces and how powerful those forces are inside himself. You see, you only see the tip of the iceberg because they're under control. But there really is a dynamics there that no human being is really aware of. See, but he gained that insight. He broke the chain, and he was thrown. And it says, at that moment, he said, "My Yisrael Adam, the whole Amala Shayamal Chachas Hashem." And once he understood those internal forces, then he saw that there's absolutely no benefit in man. Man is just a tool of these forces. Kesafos Reim Lo, and there's no benefit for him at all. Zero. So the Mayisron came from the understanding of the internal world. You see, what Chazal, the beauty of the Chazal are really showing you, and that's when he said, Ani Kohelas Hayisi Melech Yerushalayim. Hayisi means, I have no sheikhs anymore. The emotion of Malchus is meaningless to me. It's nothing. It doesn't exist. It's nonsense. And so it's a total illusion. But that was when he gained knowledge. But there's an amazing, the Gemara is even more amazing, because the Gemara says, that even so, he says that it says that even so, because later it says he regained his throne. You see, he regained his throne, which means there was a conquest through knowledge. He underwent various states, but ultimately he the knowledge and he understand going through these processes. He was in different states of mind. He was an individual that was mentally different. I mean, you see, structurally, mentally different. That's what it means. He went to Sanhedrin and didn't recognize him because his mental structure was changed from his knowledge and his investigations. But then they gave him back. They gave him back the chain and the ring and when the Ashmedai saw it, he vanished. You see? He vanished. What does that mean? What does that marshal? Kiyo Chazia Poch. What does it mean? It means to say that he conquered with his knowledge, he conquered the internal world of man. But amazingly, what a Chazal say? If they stop there, you think, okay, it's an interesting study. But they continue. They say, Vafilu Rochi, even so, Havale Biasusa Mine. He was still frightened, afraid of that, of those internal forces, which means a certain part he never conquered. And that's why it says, Hine mitaso shalashlomo shishim giborim sovav lomi gibori Yisrael. Now, it's a funny pasuk. The pasuk always strikes me as funny. Why? What's funny about the pasuk? Just think about yourself. Hine mitaso shalashlomo shishim giborim sovav lomi gibori Yisrael. Okay, 60 powerful men surrounded. Kula machuze cherev. Okay, they all have their swords. They're all armed with a sword. Malumdei mochama. They're experts at battle, at warfare. Ishchaba al yirecho would be very good, but there's one thing that the pasuk would be describing the power of a melech as is surrounded by the most powerful army, melech in his glory. But there's two words at the end that just break that whole idea. Mipachad balelos, the fear of the night. The fear of the night. The person, a gibor, is not afraid of the night. The child is afraid of the night. So when you want to describe a powerful man, you don't say he's afraid of the dark. He's afraid of the dark, he's a baby. But what it means, that's what Chazal say, what it means, pachad balelos means the fear of the night is the fear of the dark internal side of man. That's the pachad balelos. So there's shishim giborim soviv lo, hine mitaso shalashlomo, shishim giborim shlomo melech, is lying in a state of relaxation, so to speak, surrounded by all these giborim, a powerful giborim, but they have one tremendous fear, pachad balelos. Even though he conquered it through knowledge and so far as possible, but he still knew that there's some part that he never will know, and he was still on guard against it. That's basically what it was. It's not describing a king with his powerful warriors. That's Goyim have descriptions like that. We don't have such descriptions. On the contrary, our descriptions are realistic. They'd be boring, but there's mipachad balelos. They know there is something very, very powerful to be afraid of. It's interesting that the pasuk where it says the pasuk gives that mushel when Shlomo HaMelech is in bed. It's in Mitaso Shel Shlomo, because that is a reference to the part of the mind that is active at nighttime, which is the unconscious part of man. Beautiful representation. Now, the Shishim Giborim are the Gvura, his Gvura, Hizel Gibor, the Gvura of really Tove Shisitro Bedaita. That's the Shishim Giborim. But even so, Shishim Giborim Savas is a reference to his own Gvura. But even so, that's what it says. But he still was afraid. It was never a conquest. There was no conquest. There can't be any conquest in that area. That's what Chazal was saying. We can understand it. We can gain knowledge of it. You cannot allow it to control your life, but you cannot obliterate it. Yeah, the word for Yetzer Hara and Sukkah, the Gemara says, is the Tzifuni. It's hidden. by nature. It's hidden. It means it's a powerful part, as the Chazal say, that lesser level, that tzaddikim, will see that the tzaddikim will the tzaddikim will cry. Why will they cry? Because they'll see how hard it was. They'll see, they'll have a deeper understanding of what kind of internal struggle they underwent to be tzaddik, which they'll only have when they gain a greater knowledge of themselves. It's an amazing thing. The Russia will say a small thing. The Russia will say, it was so simple, it was so stupid. It was clear that this was a crazy way to live. So you think, okay, so it's very simple. Yeah, it is, in a sense, it's very simple because it's straight and clear. But the doing of it is very, very hard. That's the shot in Mor Hashem Lekecha Shel Meimach. That's the same thing. What? This is the living reality. Yeah. Let me just finish up over here. We mentioned the 3 days when the Ashmedai was brought in. So it says Shlomo didn't see it for 3 days. It also had a very amazing mashal, a very amazing part of the whole mashal here. So it says first day the Ashmedai said, "Where is he? Where is your master?" So what did he say? He said he was drinking. So he took one brick, put another brick on there, let him drink more. Okay. Next day came and he says, "Well, where's Shlomo?" So what did he say? He said, "Oh, he was eating too much." So he took away the brick. Why? And then don't feed him. Don't feed him. What is happening? And then they go back to Shlomo Melech, and Shlomo Melech interprets it. He says, "Oh, he put the brick," and he says, "Give him more wine." He says, "He took it away." It means don't overfeed him. What it means is like, what Chazal means like this, that the first day when he meeting the Ashmedai means turning your mind on the knowledge of that thing, which is Amisha Achsa, which overpowers the individual, which is the unconscious part of his mind. You see, that's what it means, meeting the Ashmedai. So apparently Shlomo HaMelech, so what the Gemara is explaining, what the Gemara is representing here with this mashal is the resistance of man. Man's resistance, his resistance to use his mind and to turn it on himself and to understand himself. It's a very hard thing to do. There's tremendous resistance. So it says the first day, he says, "Where is he at? How is his resistance being expressed?" So it says he's drinking wine. He says, "Give him more wine." Because wine, if the resistance is expressed, the person says, "Look, I'll get around to it. I'll get around to understanding myself, thinking about this a little later. Meantime, I'll drink wine." Give him more wine. I'll never get there. Because the wine is just going to go into fantasy. So then he said he was overeating. So he said, "Feed him less." What does it mean? It means like this. It means there always has to be resistance. See? That's why he said, "Feed him less," because the Ashmedai is represented as like a personality that doesn't want to hang around and wait. Now, okay, let's get it over with. You see? So he's saying if the resistance is from overeating, so that is normal resistance. And you can't, there's no way to stop that. Okay? So then the Ashmedai said, "Feed him less. Let's get it over with already. If that's the resistance, he'll get to me. He's going to get to me. Let's do it already." See? So what it's showing you in the mashal is that there are two kinds of resistance. One kind is a flight into fantasy, which is the drinking. Then you're never gonna. Then you got. If you do that, keep doing it once, twice, three times, and then he's never gonna get around to it. But if the resistance is a normal resistance, like you're overeating, the person doesn't want to do something. So what does he do? He extends his meal. You know what I mean? He eats more. But that kind of resistance is not lethal. It's a kind of resistance that's natural and normal, and it has to exist. But eventually, the person's going to, if he really wants to, he's going to overcome it. You see? It's a matter of time. So that's why it says, Dashmadai said, took the brick away. Yeah. And Ben pointed out very nicely. He said, what's the muscle of the brick? The brick is the barrier. So the brick is the barrier. So you put another brick on, that's another barrier. You see? Brick is the perfect muscle for that. He took the brick away because the barrier is breaking down. So they're right, let's do it already. Okay, the Tarnagol is an interesting representation. Again, the method of the Tarnagol. The Tarnagol, it says like this about the Tarnagol. The Tarnagol is the Ashmedai. The Ashmedai said, I don't know. Go to the Tarnagol. The Sar Hayam is in charge of the Tarnagol. What is the Sar Hayam? Actually, there's a Mishnah Chul that says the person you can't shecht on the water because Rechoshi is shechting for the Sar Hayam, the Vodazar. Vodazar Ram says it's the people who have these crazy ideas, personal shyness. They think that there's a Sar Hayam that's controlling the Yam. You see? So it's an interesting thing. He uses Sar Hayam over here, which in the Chul is represented as a Vodazar. Yeah, what it means is, a Avodah Zorah is something from the internal part of man, which an individual deifies. That's a Avodah Zorah. Takes a fantasy and illusion, and he projects it, and he deifies it, and that's why that is the most destructive thing in the world. And you have this recognized, the only one to recognize, that a Avodah Zorah is against any kind of progress. Because once you take a part of yourself and project it outward and deify it, that's it. You're not going anywhere. See? It is complete obliteration of reality. So that's what Avodah Zorah is, basically. So therefore, that's why Yadus is all Chachma. It's all Chachma. And there are no forces. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Einod Muvada. So therefore, the Sar Hayam, the Sar Hayam over here is reference to an internal emotion. I'll get back later to what it is. But let's just take the mashal. The mashal Sariyam is in charge, and it gives over this shamir to the Tarnagol. And the Tarnagol swears that it's going to return. And what do they do? They cover over the nest of the Tarnagol. The Tarnagol sees his babies, wants to get to the babies. It's glass. It uses the shamir to penetrate the glass. Or tries to, but in the process they scare it and it drops the shamir and they take it away. And the Tarnagol goes and kills himself. Yeah, strangles himself. What is that a mashal of? The mashal is very clear what the mashal is. The mashal is that sometimes a person is entrusted with something, like for the benefit of mankind, he's entrusted with something. On the way, he figures, I could use that for myself meantime. What harm is there? And he does. Now, if he returns it, nothing happens. But if there's a mishap and it's lost because of that, then he is so guilty about what he did that he destroys himself. That's exactly the mushroom. Okay, that's the mushroom. Okay. So what is it? What is it a mushroom? It's like there was a guy, Manus. Politician, you find that. The guy Foster. These guys that's what happens. In other words, they're in a position of power, and they use it when they want to use it. They feel they're going to avail themselves of it. And they'll put it. Nothing's going to happen. It'll be the same, and we'll make it up, and it'll be the same. But if something goes wrong, benefit. So that's exactly the mushroom. He swears, I swear, that the title swears that he's going to return it. Then the dad says, I can use it for my babies right now. Then I'll get bring it back. But then they scared it, dropped it, and then it realizes in retrospect, the guilt comes out in retrospect. And the guilt is so powerful that it destroys it. That's really the martial title. So now we get to the question of what the greater martial of the Shamir is. And over here, again, over here, I say that, I'll tell you what I think it is, but I am not as certain with regard to this part as I am with regard to what we did at Tomat. I believe what it means like this, that Shlomo HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. And Chazal say that he was looking for the Shamir. I really know what he did, and in the Rambam, there's no need for a Shamir. But what the mashal of a shamir is, what does a shamir do? The shamir penetrates, Rashi says, davar kasha. Those who ain't davar kasha, I'm in fun. It means to say that it accomplishes the same thing easily, effortlessly, as the cherev does. That's what the shamir does. Accomplishes effortlessly the same thing as the cherev. Okay? Now, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, in the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech knew that this is an undertaking for the entire world, not just not just for himself, not just even for Kol Yisrael. Okay? But it's an undertaking for the entire. So in order to do that, you have to summon the energy of the people. And you have to, a person who is in that position, he has to be diplomatic. In other words, he has to know how to access, how to control, to guide the forces, the psychological forces, you see, of those who are under his power, you see, his subjects. I mean, that's what he has to do. That's what he has to do. It's something which he has to do rationally. It has to be worked out with Chachma, otherwise you can't do it. Okay? You can't be sentimental about it. He has to know it. So Shlomo HaMelech was really searching for the key. Where in the human personality, how can I harness the energy of people to that goal of Binyan Beis HaMikdash? Now, he has to obviously be smarter than them, and he has to be able to understand the human mind and be able to harness that energy and find the key to unlock that energy for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Binyan Sholem of the Beis HaMikdash. You see? So what Chazal say is that he was searching, investigating the depths of the human personality. And first he was investigating the unconscious mind, the forces which were mentioned before, you know, the narcissistic forces and the aggressive and the sympathetic and all the whole description that he goes through. But then he came to the conclusion that even the thorough knowledge of that aspect of man, and if you know those elements perfectly, you will not be able to control individuals through your knowledge of those aspects of the human personality, not be able to do it, you see, in order to achieve the goal of Beis HaMikdash. That's why after he investigated that, the Ashmedai directed him to the Tarnagol. What is the Tarnagol? See, the Tarnagol, the story of the Tarnagol is he did something wrong, but it didn't bother him. Why? Because nothing went wrong. In other words, he could take the shift. If things went as planned, he'd release his babies, bring the Shomir back for full assure, everything's hunky-dory. Fine. So what did he kill himself for? So it was a mistake. It wasn't his fault. The answer is because once the mishap takes place, then in retrospect, all the guilt, the floodgates of the guilt are released. You see? That's a representation of unconscious guilt, which is the most devastating emotion in man. That's the most devastating. So what the Mashal is teaching us is that Shlomo HaMelech eventually realized that the only way to achieve the goal is through the harnessing of that energy in man. The energy that's tied to guilt. You see, that is the only way to achieve it. Not through an understanding of the other elements of the Ashmedai that were mentioned before. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's right. What do I base this on? I base this on the Psukim in the Navi. Because the Navi says that Shlomo HaMelech, when he took over, so God said, well, God came to Machlom and he had Nevuah. He said, what do you want? So what did he ask for? He says, I have this great nation and I have a responsibility to judge them correctly, properly. So he was mispalo for Chachma. Give me the Chachma to be able to direct this nation properly. You see, that was really his tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because you ask for Chachma and nothing else, you will get Chachma and other things besides. But the request, you see, from the moment that he took over, what was his desire? Was for Chachma in order to be able to lead the people. You see? So that's exactly what this mashal really completes the earliest request of Shlomo HaMelech, which was that he was looking for the Chachma. And over here in this mashal, Chazal is depicting the areas of Chachma that he went into, that he investigated, and how they played a role in Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Now, see an interesting thing. What does it say? In achieving his goal. What does it say? It says, even so, he kept the Ashmedai around until the Beis HaMikdash was built. What does that mean? You notice that stands out as like a sore thumb. What is that doing there? He doesn't need it anymore. He got the shamir. What's the answer? The answer is because it wasn't through the guilt alone that he was able to gain knowledge of man so that he could know how to lead them properly. Because you can't lead properly unless you know what you're leading. So you have to have a thorough knowledge of the human psyche. That's what Chazal was saying. And in order for him to lead, that was the Chochmah Shlomo, he had to understand man. Because who are you leading? You're leading people. You don't understand them. You're just going to go by your whims and your feelings. You're never going to get anywhere else. That's what everybody does. So Shlomo Melech had to gain insight. So it says, even though he recognized the most powerful force in Binyan Beis HaMikdash is really the unconscious guilt in the human being, but the other parts are also necessary. We kept them around. That's what it means. It's not just one thing. Not a simple thing. It is the emphasis, the Dovesh Chazak is on that. But the other parts have all also got to be there. You see. That's what Chazal is pointing out. It's an interesting thing. But Binyan Beis HaMikdash is a big thing. Binyan Beis HaMikdash is, that's establishing a world order of the highest degree in perfection and the most beneficial for man. That's Binyan Beis HaMikdash. It's the greatest achievement possible. Before everything, I'll take a question. But that's why Chazal say, you see, now you understand when they approach the Ashmadai, he says, you want to conquer me also? So he said, no, I don't want to conquer you, he said. I just want to understand in order for Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's my goal. My goal is in order to gain Chachma so that I'll be able to direct the people to harness their energies properly through my knowledge of them so I can create the goal, fulfill the goal of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. You see? That's what he said at first. But then later, when the Ashmadai was there already, he went in for the understanding itself. For the understanding itself. So that element of the mashal fits in very beautifully. Yeah, but keeping it around till Binyan Beis HaMikdash, if it was just, till Binyan Beis HaMikdash shows you that it wasn't, Chazal is saying it's not a simple solution. It's not just, even if you understand the mashal, I'm saying the element of unconscious guilt is extremely important for Shlomo to use in his favor and leading the people to recognize, understand, and understand how to use it. That's correct. But that's not the only thing. That's a simple formulator. It's in conjunction with the rest of the personality. But that is the main feature. That's what Chazal said. I'm sorry. The Sarayam. Yeah. The Sarayam. What is the Sarayam? See, the Sarayam is because the ocean is what was where progress took place. It says that the Tanigal takes it, and what does he do? Yeah, I'm sorry, I have to go backwards. I forgot. The Tanigal takes it, and he goes over to the mountain, and it's a barren, hard rock cliff mountain. And what he does is the Shamir penetrates it, makes a little hole, and then he puts in seeds, and it becomes a place for people to live. You see, that's a representation of all the advances. Not anymore. But at that time, the advances took place from the ocean, from the sea. Traveling to different, the expansion process of civilization was through the sea. So the Sarayam is a representation of those forces. So what it means is the Tanigal takes the Shamir from the Sarayam. It means in the process, where does this guilt come out? In the process of advancing civilization, those people that are engaged in that emotion, you see, in that type of activity, that's where the slip up takes place. That they're entrusted with something, they use it for their own personal, which they shouldn't do. But then, if they're fortunate and they can put it back, fine. But if they can't, Then the unconscious guilt is unleashed. So it's not just unconscious guilt over here, but it's talking about unconscious guilt vis-a-vis the breach of trust insofar as one's obligation to humanity is concerned. You see, it's a very specific form. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it. And bring that. It's a specific form of the unconscious guilt. It's the unconscious guilt that man experiences when he breaches the trust that humanity places in him and misuses something that was given to him for the purpose of advancing civilization and use it for himself. That's the unconscious guilt. And Maxim is right. After the first request, when he asked God for Chachma in order to lead the people, so the first story is a famous story with the two women. Yeah, Oztavana in the future, Oztavana, right? Oztavana, it's in the future. Oztavana, with the Shnayim, Nashim, Zanov. Right. So Oztavana, whenever it says in the future, it means it's an underlying, it should have said, it's not telling you a story of what happened. It's telling you an underlying principle that will always exist. Oz Tavona. It means that then he gained the knowledge and he was able to work with these ideas in manipulating. Actually, he's giving an example where he manipulates the emotions of the women in order to bring out the just result, which is exactly what I'm saying, that he was that was his objective with the Ashmedai, was to understand the emotions of man in order to be able to accomplish. I mean, the word manipulate has a bad type of a connotation, but it's a correct one because the leader has to do that. I mean, as much as he may dislike doing that, he has to do it because he has to work with Chachma. He can't be sentimental. He has to work with Chachma. It may be hard to say, take the baby and cut the baby in half. I mean, maybe how could a person do that? That moment, the real mother, she's ready to scream. But he has to do it in order to come to the just result. So Melech has to do that. Melech has to have the ability to overcome his own inner emotions and to in order to manipulate the emotions of the people for the cause of justice, because people are not tzaddikim. We're dealing with all kinds of, and that was his chacham, and that's what he was looking for over here. That's the Oztavon. That's good. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that's correct. And what he was saying is like Roshan, the what? In other words, each one wanted the live baby. So why? Because that's a matter of pride and a person's ego, right? Shlomo knew that there's only one emotion that can overcome that, and that is the emotion of the extension of the self that the real mother has for her child, and that'll overpower the egoistic emotion. That's what it's about. That's the only thing that'll do it. Why? Because that's closer to the self. That is the closest. That was the problem. There's only one emotion that can overpower the emotion of pride and ego. You see, and aggression also. I mean, all that group of emotions. Only one emotion that can overpower that, and that is the love of the mother for her real child. The only situation where she'll forego even the most powerful emotions of man. That was the problem. Now she was pasuk bishlui aldeya means that the individual was so people were so distorted that the whole instinctual life is gone. Total distortion. I mean that's the klola. That's the klola. Klola is when a person is distorted. There's two parts to the marshal. He kept them around till Binyan Beis HaMikdash means that it was necessary, that previous knowledge was necessary also. When he unleashed the chain, that was done just for the sake of knowledge. Took off the chain and the ring, yeah.